Oh, back at it here, 97.5 The Fanatic, 7:02 as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock on this Football Friday, right? Football Friday on The Fanatic, which is driven by AAA, wherever the open road takes you. Take Triple A. We have a busy show for you tonight as we start off here at 7 o'clock. We thank Jamie Lynch again for the Draft Line show. Always fun working with Jamie on these Friday nights. And we have all through the football season to do this. So I look forward to doing this every Friday, 6 to 7 with Jamie Lynch. It's always a blast talking sports with him, talking the numbers with these games, getting his idea on how the game might play out. The same for me. And we kind of bounce these things off of each other and share them with you. And, of course, we encourage you to call in as well and give your thoughts as people who do enjoy the fun part of the betting with DraftKings. It's an easy app. It's very easy to navigate and do the things that you want to do without getting carried away, of course, and having some nice fun with the betting on the DraftKings. So always enjoy that with Jamie. But tonight, we're going to mix things up with both the NFL and the NBA with the Eagles and the 49ers on Sunday. This is my last chance to talk to you where we're going to take a lot of calls on Football Friday outside of my opportunity to speak to you from 4 to 5 from Parks Casino on Sunday afternoon, 4 to 5 before the pregame show with Brian Westbrook and Derek Gunn. We go from 5 to 8:20 on Sunday before the kickoff, Eagles 49ers Sunday night. And we'll certainly be talking about that for sure on Sunday. But tonight, we want to get in. We want to get the opportunity to speak to you one more time. Get your last-minute thoughts on things you kind of had a little bit of time to separate yourself from it with all the Doc Rivers news that has been going on. So we'll get into the Eagles, get your thoughts on their chances against San Francisco on Sunday. We definitely still want to take the leftover conversation with Jimmy Butler in the NBA Finals tonight. That is a later game that you heard Jamie and I talking to 9:10 tip. But most importantly, we want to talk about Doc Rivers coming back here back here to the East Coast and the Atlantic Division, where the Atlantic Division coaches, man, they are tough. Where he's going to be coaching now, the Philadelphia 76ers. So whoever couldn't get in last night, or even if you weren't able to get in last night, but you have some more things, some things that you may have read, some more thoughts about how Doc Rivers can use these players, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, and so on and so forth. And I stopped there with those three because we have no idea who else is going to be in play for this team. So I kind of lean more towards those three to really focus on as a conversation piece when it comes to the 76ers and Doc Rivers. Still a lot of excitement on the station today with the callers that I heard. Many, many, many callers with the excitement with Doc Rivers in town. There are those who are not so excited about Doc Rivers joining either. So I do not mind speaking to you. As you know, I want to speak to you too. I don't want to make it a racial thing like many have done and turning that into a racial thing and turning the game overall into a black and white hire for Doc Rivers. No, we're talking basketball here. So if you are against it and you don't like the Doc Rivers selection here, where he's going to be here for 5 years, based on his contract agreement with the 76ers, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, then please let us know why you do not think this is a good hire for the Sixers. So to continue the conversation in terms of Doc Rivers, we're going to have some guests here tonight. Dee Lynam of The Fanatic. You hear her on Saturday and Sunday mornings with Joe Torti. Dee Lynam still plugged in into the NBA, plugged into the Philadelphia 76ers. Dee is going to join us at 7:40 to talk about this hire with Doc Rivers, what it means to her to have Doc Rivers here in town, replacing Brett Brown as the next head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. From The Athletic at 9:10, another friend, The Athletic's Michael Lee, a national writer, senior writer for The Athletic, will join us as well, because Mike has been covering the league for many, many years, covering the Washington Wizards for the Washington Post, then turned that into the national writer, the league NBA writer overall for the Washington Post. Mike is now with The Athletic. He is going to join us at 9:10 to give his thoughts, because he has been based on the East Coast for many years with Washington, of course, and then now he has been still based on the East Coast covering up and down the Eastern Conference, where he's really focused on Washington and Boston, Brooklyn, New York, Toronto as well. But he is still that East Coast guy where he has a good knowledge of his overall connections and the stories that he has written on the Los Angeles Clippers and Doc Rivers. He's going to speak to us about Doc Rivers and how what it means to have Doc Rivers here in Philadelphia. So we're going to have a busy show for you. 9:10 is Michael Lee. So at 9:30 is when Tyler Zuli and I will give our weekly selections for the NFL, for the weekend games that are upcoming. We give you three games. We talk about those three games in depth during this segment, and Tyler will update us on, because I don't know, honestly. I did not ask Tyler what the number is. He just pulled out his little black book with what our total is so far through 3 weeks, and he'll give us our overall total for the 3 weeks. And then, of course, we will talk about the games that we will have for you this weekend that we are choosing from each side. I already have my three already lined up. I'm not staying away from the 4.5 that Joe Torti likes to stay away from, like Tyler likes to lean on as well. I'm not scared. You heard Jamie say he's not scared when it comes to some of these lines, meaning the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Washington football team in FedEx Field. That 13.5, Jamie Lynch is not scared, all right? I'm not scared either. And what I'm not scared of, well, I'm kind of scared. Guys, I'm kind of scared, as we will talk about Doc Rivers and the 76ers. Just want to set this one up. I'm a little scared about this Eagles and 49ers game this weekend. We talk about that number being at 7. Who's playing for the Philadelphia Eagles? All right, Carson Wentz, check. Miles Sanders, it's confirmed. Check, he will be playing. But at what strength will he be at? What strength? Who is he? Right? All right, who is he? Hakeem Butler. He's in. Say it again. Who? Hakeem Butler? Yeah, Hakeem Butler's in.
Huh?
Yes, exactly. Hakeem Butler will be in for the Philadelphia Eagles. We got you covered here. Let me give you the injury report from 3 hours ago for the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. Did not practice. Fletcher Cox, DeSean Jackson, Avante Maddox, Trevor Williams. You want to do the heh again? Because some people are like,
what?
Trevor Williams, who is that? Well, you know, he's brought up from the practice squad, formerly of the San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers / Los Angeles Chargers. And Trevor Williams, his rib has bothered him so much he did not practice. He was out. We know DeSean Jackson, out. Avante Maddox, out. Questionable still, technically, I guess, Fletcher Cox. Still not necessarily there, but the thing with Fletcher Cox, his injury, personal. Interesting. All right, limited practice. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Well, he is limited when he plays in actual games, so that doesn't count. Alshon Jeffrey with the foot, he is limited practice. Back. Lane Johnson, ankle, limited practice. Still undetermined if he's going to play or not. Jason Peters, the foot, you heard Jamie mention it. Limited practice, questionable. Questionable. By the way, Alshon Jeffrey, we know, is out. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, doubtful. Well, he's doubtful when he's actually suited up. So again, Philadelphia Eagles, that does not count. Jamon Brown, illness, full practice. Jack Driscoll, illness, full practice. Rudy Ford, groin, full practice. John Hightower, illness, full practice. Jason Kelsey, rest, full practice, which kind of doesn't mean anything, but I guess he was just out there. Miles Sanders, glute, full participant in the practice session for the Birds. So that is your injury report for the Philadelphia Eagles. And football fans, Eagle fans, guys, gals, I'm a little uneasy about this game. I don't know how they pull this one off. During the draft line show, we talk about the number, the 7. In this particular case, I have no idea how they pull this one off. Is it as simple as Carson Wentz will finally have his best game of the season? He will be consistent. He will give them an opportunity, and they might be able to pull this one off. It's very possible. We've seen him do it before. But the only question now is, can he do it against this football team on the road with the pressure being so heavy on him as they get ready for this game, looking for their first win of the season. Eagle fans, I have no idea. I really don't. This game, for me, I just don't know. I don't know. You have no DeSean Jackson, no Jalen Reagor, no outside threats. And I say that with all due respect to John Hightower, simply because we have not seen John Hightower yet be the one that they told us about during the training camp sessions, the practices that they had, where he looked really good as a late round pick. Speed is there? Okay, cool. But he has to have the speed to get the separation and then fight for the football and then secure the catch with the football. We haven't seen it yet. Miles Sanders has this glute situation. Okay, he has this glute situation. Dealing with the hammy. Still, right? Just, it's there. Well, is he going to be healthy? And if that's the case, can Boston Scott and Corey Clement hold things down in the event that Miles Sanders is not ready to roll in the game? I need help. I need help, folks. I don't want anyone panicking and saying, Devon, you're making me feel even down, like Nate in Southwest told us a little bit earlier when he changed his mind after speaking to us, even though he spoke to Jim Schwartz earlier in the day because he saw him out. I want everyone to tell me, how are they going to win this game? How are they going to win this game? Do they have a legit chance to win this game against the San Francisco 49ers tonight? Because I do not see the play here with how they get it done. I don't. I'm saying it right now. I'm not waiting for my pick on Sunday with the pregame show with Brian Westbrook and Derek Gunn and myself from Parks Casino in Ben Salem, the great all-new sportsbook. I'm simply telling you now, I don't see them winning this game because I don't have one area, one reason here to tell you that this is how the Birds are going to win. I don't see anything positive here with how they're going to pull this off. They're going to double-team Zach Ertz. They're going to allow Greg Ward to catch those short passes in the middle of the field, not go anywhere, no yards after the catch, and then there's that. Hakeem Butler from the Arizona Cardinals? Okay. All right, Hakeem Butler. All right, can he be that guy? Can Deontay Burnett be that guy? Possibly. We saw it last year where Carson Wentz was able to work his magic with these wide receivers that we never heard of. Robert Davis. Deontay Burnett. Who? Who are these guys?
Huh?
All right, we know who Deontay Burnett is now because he's here. We saw him last year. But what about Hakeem Butler? Yeah, I know who Hakeem Butler is from the Arizona Cardinals. Okay, but he's not, no longer with the Arizona Cardinals. He is available. And that's why the Birds were able to get him. And right now, at this point, what is he going to do? Hakeem Butler. What is he going to do? So look, I don't know. He is now a tight end. Okay, from Iowa State. All right. What is that going to do? All right, we know Dallas Goedert is not available. You bring in Richard Rodgers. Now Hakeem Butler is here, wide receiver slash tight end. We saw it before where they would have, what's my man's name, who's injured for the season? The other tight end, 83, who I like a little bit. Oh, man. What's his name? Josh Perkins. Yeah, I like Josh Perkins a little bit, but I know I'm just one of those guys who like Josh Perkins a little bit for whatever reason, knowing he's not going to be much. Thank you, Tyler. Josh Perkins, I like him a little bit. He's out. So now they bring in Hakeem Butler, and he's a tight end, taking him off of the practice squad of the Carolina Panthers. So, guys, gals, Eagle fans, can you please let me know how do the Eagles win this game? Because I just don't see a formula, and I need to talk to you all about it. I know I talked about the weapons on the outside, and of course the tight ends, the defense going to be a struggle on that side. I expect Darius Slay to do his job, where they're going to put him. But That's about it. That's about it. We know the front four can get a push. Can they make things uncomfortable? Can they make things uncomfortable for the San Francisco 49ers offensive line? Can they do that? I don't know. I really don't know. I really don't know if they can do it. They beat the New York Giants last week, 36-9 in New York. Many felt like, oh, well, they can't be that good without all of these starters that they're going to be without. Maybe if the Giants show something, then the Eagles, we might have a chance. As an Eagle fan, you say that. We might have a chance. They destroyed that team. 36-9, and they didn't let up. They scored 13 in the fourth quarter. Nick Mullins, 36 pass attempts, 25 of 36 for 343 yards and one touchdown. On the ground. Okay? On the ground. Their leading rusher was Jerick McKinnon with 38 yards on 14 carries. Jeffrey Wilson, 12 carries for 15 yards. And Brandon Ayuk, all three of them scored on the ground. Brandon Ayuk, 5 receptions for 70 yards. He spread the ball around fantastically on Sunday. 5 for Ayuk, Kendrick Bourne, 4, Jeffrey Wilson, 3, Ross Dwelly, 4, Jerick McKinnon, 3, Jordan Reed, 2, Trent Taylor, 1, Mohamed Sanu, 1, the fullback got 1. This is what he's going to do. He's going to spread it around. I don't know how they're going to stop it. I don't know what the offense is going to be able to do to run against that football team or pass against that football team. What is the formula to beat the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday, folks? Help me out as we go until 10 o'clock tonight, 610-632-0975. Please give us the formula. Help us out. You might change my mind by the end of the show and giving us an opportunity to say, okay, at the end, all right, I believe what Jeremiah was talking about, and this is why it's going to happen the way that Jeremiah presented it to us with the Birds winning the game. So we'll get to that. 610-632-0975. Doc Rivers as well. What do you guys think? Leftover conversation for Doc Rivers. What do you guys think? We'll give you some audio from Stephen A. Smith on Mike's show, Kendrick Perkins on the morning show, and we'll run through all of that stuff here tonight. D-line him at 740. Michael Lee at 910. And our weekly NFL picks segment with Tyler Zuli, that will be at 9:30 tonight, since we'll have Michael on at 9:10. Folks, how do the Philadelphia Eagles win on Sunday night? 610-632-0975. Let's start off in Middletown with Rodriguez here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rodriguez!
Amigo.
My man! What's up, my man?
I'm good, man. I'm
good. Good to hear from you, man. How do they win this game, man?
Listen, man. I'm positive about Doc Rivers. I love it.
Oh.
Listen, but let me tell you one thing. Let me tell you one thing. Uh-huh. Let me start with the Eagles. Man, listen, I've been an Eagles fan for 45 years. And this is the first time that I have no confidence at all in this team that they're going to even pull this off. I mean, I don't want to put myself in a situation where, you know, I'm not expecting them to win. I'm just not. You know, it's like you always think of the quarterback and say, also, hey, you know what? He just might do this to pull it off, or Jesus might pull it off. But lately, you know, I can't say that about my quarterback, because right now my quarterback, I have no confidence in my quarterback either that he's going to pull it off or somehow do one of his miracle things and do it, because he hasn't shown much of that throughout his whole 5 years. So, no, man, listen. I have no expectation for a Sunday. I'm going to watch. I'll watch, you know. I've been watching the Eagles forever. I'm going to watch. I'm going to sit there and watch, but I don't expect them to win. And I hate to go into 3 hours of not expecting, but I'm not expecting them to win, Devon. And you know, I'm not going to put myself through it where I'm going to give myself false hope over any, you know. No, I'm not expecting them to win on Sunday. I have no idea how they're going to pull this off.
Well, listen, man, I'm right now I'm with you. That's why I don't see a way for them to win on Sunday.
No,
just too
no,
much.
Man.
Just too
no,
much. And look, they have injuries, the San Francisco 49ers, they have injuries as well. But even with that, right now San Francisco is a better team. They're at home and they're trying to again keep pace with everything that is happening currently in that division. So they're not going to try to take an L to the Philly. Not try. Of course, you're not going to try to lose.
Even with that, they're a better team than we are right now.
Yeah, yeah. So quickly. Just,
who are we? Who are we to say, you know?
Yeah, no, right now, the Birds, they don't have an identity right now at this point.
No, man.
They can't find themselves right now. And they really need a win badly, man. But I just don't see it this weekend.
But let me tell you, Doc Rivers, it's the best. Listen, I'm excited about Doc Rivers. I like this. I like the pick. I like this man. You know, he's proven to be a winner, and I'm expecting great things. Listen, when they told me about the playoffs, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was they're going to lose. They're going to be shut out. That's what happened. Because I was not expecting them. I mean, you know, after losing Butler, after losing JJ, you know, we just declined. Totally declined from the team that we were. Like, you know, we went pretty far in the playoffs, you know, the year before. And here we are, we lose JJ, we lose Butler, and we just went down the drain with the only two players again.
Yeah, and I actually didn't think that they would fall off the way that they did.
No, man.
I thought they would be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I actually said that they had to go to the NBA Finals because I thought the team was built that well and they would actually, you know, pull through and get there. But unfortunately, it did not happen.
This is excitement with Doc
Rivers.
This is
exciting.
I expect this team to make a turnaround. That's what I expect from this
team. Well, listen, man, enjoy the game this weekend. As you said, you will watch it. Hopefully, they give you something exciting to root for. Rodriguez, have a great weekend, my man.
Take care, my man.
You got it. 610-632-0975. All right, it's that easy. Let me know how the Birds win this weekend. And at the end of your phone call, please give us your prediction for the game as well. 610-632-0975. Again, we'll talk Doc Rivers as well. We'll get to the audio from Kendrick Perkins on the morning show, Charles Barkley and Tim Legler on the midday show with Cuz, Anthony Gargano, and Stephen A. Smith with Mike Missinelli. I will have D. Lynam and Michael Lee from The Athletic. D. Lynam at 7:40, so that will be in the next segment. And Michael Lee, 9:10 from The Athletic. All right here tonight as we go until 10 on this Football Friday, talking football and hoops. Oh, we love it. Right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. On 97.5. The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Love that Jadakiss beat right there. 7:31 on a Friday night. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens hanging out with you until 10 on this Football Friday. Tyler Zuli behind the glass. D-line him in 10 minutes. Michael Lee, 9:10. Talking a little hoops. Let's get back to the phones. Jeremiah and Pottstown checking in with us on the Fanatic. Jeremiah.
Hey, what's going on, Devon?
How you doing, man? How are they going to win this game?
Hey, man. I know Doug's not going to do it, but I'm thinking, just my opinion, you got to go double tight end, and you got to run the ball. You got to have thunder and lightning on Sunday night. And what I mean is Miles Sanders and Corey Clement, just keep pounding them. I would throw Wentz maybe 28 times this game. And I'm talking about run the ball, set up the play action. You're going to have to run slants. And that's how I win this game. And I go to my defense and I go to Miles Sanders and Corey Clemens. I'm putting the game on you guys. I need a turnover. I need at least two turnovers by my defense. But that's what I got to do. But Doug's not going to do that. Doug's going to come out and throw the ball 45 times a game. He's going to run these dumb wide receiver screens. He's going to
that don't work.
Yeah, they don't work. He's going to make Wentz throw screens to the running back. They don't work because Wentz can't do that. Doug is lost, man. I'm telling you, Devon, I called you like 2 weeks ago. You got to get Doug on this program so you can just tell him and ask him, why do you run wide receiver screens, Doug? And why do you give up on the run game so easy? And he's going to give you some answer. And you got to press him, man. You got to press
him. Well, look, first of all, I love the optimism and the game plan with how you laid everything out, Jeremiah. And then within 10 seconds, you flipped immediately and went the other way and allowed Doug Peterson to tick you off on this Friday night. That just goes to show where this football season is currently at, man. And that's a shame that this is where we are on October 2nd, getting ready for week number 4, that the faith is pretty much gone already. The frustration is huge with this football team, whether it's directed and pointed at Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, Jim Schwartz, whoever it might be. You flipped that one quickly, man.
I just don't have no confidence in Doug, man. Every week I get my hopes up. Like, I'm so high right now because I'm waiting for Sunday for the Eagles. I just want to see them come out and run the ball. But he's not going to do that. You know that, and I know that.
Yeah, I know.
He's come out, he's going to throw the ball 45 times, and he's going to try to run play action when the defense don't buy that. Now, San Francisco's great with the run game. But that doesn't scare me. I'm going to keep running the ball, man. That's what you got to do this week, and I hope Doug does it.
Well, that's
Devon, thanks for the time, brother.
You got it, man. Thank you. And the one thing, Jeremiah, I really appreciate that. The one thing that really stands out when you say that, Jeremiah, talking about the run game, Jeremiah pointing that out in Pottstown, is last week when Brian Westbrook said, this is a week against the Cincinnati Bengals, at home, mind you, to pick up your first win by doing this. Thinking like Jeremiah. Jeremiah, thinking like Brian Westbrook, taking the football out of Carson Wentz's hands. He called it a Doug Peterson game because he needed to see, B. West needed to see the head coach change the philosophy of the game going in, helping his quarterback out by running the football. And when they come out, what does Miles Sanders do? Like Jamie and I talked about during the Draft Line show, gets 60 plus yards early. Like, yo, he's going about to go for 140 on this team. They gave up 215 to the Cleveland Browns with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Why not do it again? And they were going in that direction. And to Jeremiah's point and Brian Westbrook's point last week, he got away from it. He got away from it. So Jeremiah's talking nice and peacefully about, hey, this is what you got to do. You got to do the run game. You're going to do this. You know, Thunder and Lightning, Corey Clement and Miles Sanders mix in Boston Scott a little bit, spread the ball around, no more than 29 passes, 28 passes. And then Jeremiah's whole demeanor flipped because he knows exactly what Doug Peterson is going to do. 610-632-0975. How did the Birds win this weekend? What should the game plan be to upset and surprise the San Francisco 49ers? Dan in Roxborough, thanks for hanging on, Dan. You're on the Fanatic.
What's up, Devon? How we doing tonight?
Oh, man, I'm trying to get you guys to tell me how the Birds win.
I got something. I don't know if it's it, but I got something.
Hey, at this point, they're 0-2-1. What could be worse?
0-3.
Well, they're not.
Yeah. I'm optimistic going into every week. So I'm going to be rooting for the Birds all 16 games this season. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what, but right here, here's the equation to win. The defensive line has to own the front. And then Miles Sanders got to touch the ball 30 times. That's what Doug and all the coordinators this week should have just been like, everybody's out. Miles Sanders, how are we getting him the ball? We'll get him it this way. They stop it this way, get him it that way. They stop that way, get him it the other way. He has to get the ball 30 times this game. He's our only explosive weapon on the offensive side of the ball, besides Zach Ertz.
100%.
And, I mean, the offensive line is terrible. So why doesn't Doug just take what Sean McVay did to us and get Carson Wentz out of the pocket? Get the ball out of his hands to Miles Sanders, and then when he has the ball, get him out of the pocket. Get him in some space. I mean, he's not helping him out when he gets to sit in the pocket and you got Jason Peters doing 360s while his man gets a free run at the quarterback every play. I mean, that just ain't working.
Yeah, man, and that's it, man. It looks like so far, again, with you, Dan, and Jeremiah, the formula has to be to give the ball to your second best player behind Zach Ertz, and that'd be Miles Sanders, to kind of create that balance, to put that balance out there for you to have that running game going so you can create the pass, have that play action work for you against the San Francisco defense, which is very good. But maybe you get them to bite every now and then. And when they do, you hit John Hightower for the first time with a big play and get something positive going. Give them some momentum. Give them some confidence. Carson Wentz, most importantly, give him the confidence to go out there and run freely and run through his routes properly, and Carson Wentz feel confident in hitting him, and then everything else is being spread around the way it needs to be. So, Dan, I hope you're right. I hope Jeremiah is right with how we believe this whole thing should play out.
Oh, I agree completely. And also,
yes,
there's enough blame to go around. Carson ain't playing well, obviously. Doug ain't calling a good game. But just thinking back, the last 3-4 drafts, like, you need young players to contribute on a football team. And I can't even pick out a handful of our draft picks the last 3 or 4 years that are contributing. Like, Derek Barnett's on the field, but every time I look at him, he's just getting caked or
Don't bring his name up to me, man.
I can't stand him.
And I know he had 2 sacks. But you know what? For me, no. Give me 2 more.
Yeah,
give me 2.5.
First round pick. You should be close to 2 a game.
Exactly. Give me 2 more this week. Give me 1 the following week. Make a difference with your play on that defensive line coming off the edge, man. Where they are annoyed with how are we going to figure out this one? How are we going to check this guy and make sure he doesn't get to Mullins? That's what we need to see, Dan.
And that's where the young players are kind of like your safety net here. I mean, we've had the same exact team for 4 years now. Everyone's just getting older, and of course people are going to be banged up. That's why you need the depth at the young position players just anywhere. I don't even see any young players playing anywhere. Sean Bradley, I liked him in college. I watched Temple. Obviously, I'm a local guy.
Yes.
Why doesn't he get a shot on the field when the other team is just wiping their behind with Nate Gary and the other –
the rest of them.
The linebacker we got out there just getting cooked play after play.
I know, Dan. He can't do any worse. I mean, look, I know those guys are probably in the right position, but then at the end of the play, they are not in the right position because we see the back of Nate Gary. Listen, Dan, give me a score before you go.
All right, I'm going to go with Bird's going to win this 28-21. Big play, Slay, pick 6 for you this week.
Ooh, I like it. Dan, thanks so much, man. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week, man. Thanks for the call. 610-632-0975. What do the Birds have to do to win? How do they win on Sunday? Because I have no formula. I am without formulas. I don't know. I'm asking you, get me in a good place, please, so I can feel better. And at the end of the show tonight, 10 o'clock, maybe I'll feel better and say, you know what, on Sunday I might pick the Birds 28-21, just like Dan did. Ray, C-Notes, DT, Chuck, one open phone line, and Tasty Cake Dom, my man, my brother. Dom is back. He wants to talk about Doc Rivers as well as C-Notes does. Chuck as well. Well, I have a treat for you guys, if you don't mind hanging on a minute, because we have the great from 97.5 The Fanatic joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, the one and only D. Lineham, checking in with us on this Football Friday night. That is a Doc Rivers night tonight. D, how you doing?
Wow, I get to be part of Football Friday.
Football this Friday. We're not going to let you leave without you telling us about the Birds, but we do have to start off with the Doc Rivers thing. D, first of all, when you heard that, number one, he was let go by the Clippers, and how everything else transpired throughout the week, number one, did you think, of course, he should have been in the mix for the job, and now that he is being named the coach at some point, but Woj putting it out there, what do you think of the move?
Well, first of all, I would say that I'm not surprised he has a job less than a week after he was let go of having a job. And, you know, Devon, I went and I was looking. I didn't realize on Wednesday that Steve Kerr, for whatever reason, had a media session. And he took a moment after he was asked, like, maybe 1 or 2 questions to thank Doc Rivers. It's at this point, right, it's Wednesday, he is without a job. He had been let go on Monday from the Clippers, or mutually agreed, however we want to say those things. And he was like, you know, I just want people to know how much he appreciated his leadership over the years as a coach in this league. And he's like, I'm sure if he wants to coach, he's going to coach again. But I want to take this moment to thank him for his leadership. And then I started thinking, it wasn't just about, you know, the being in the pandemic, and he had those powerful words when he knelt for the anthem with teams in the bubble and thinking that's 2 minutes. And George Floyd had somebody who knelt for 8 minutes, right? So that was powerful. But then going back to the Donald Sterling, and then going back to just the kind of teammate he was. And it just, I mean, I thought he was the best guy available for sure. And that's not saying, that's not diminishing who else is out there. But to me, I think I used the phrase, I was on Fox 29 this morning, and I said, you know, if the best house on the block is X, and I have a chance to get the best house, why would I take the second best? And I think what the Sixers looked and saw, he was the best, and now you move forward.
And you do. And at some point, with it taking so long, D, when Brett Brown was let go, and we hear the same names over and over again from Mike D'Antoni to Tyronn Lue and a few others with the assistants, including Emi Udoka, at one point, yep, I sat back and wondered, is this an attractive job anymore? I understand Simmons and Embiid are there, but you know what? I know they want to take their time and do the right thing and find the right person, but what is taking them so long? And to their benefit, with them taking so long, Doc Rivers becomes free, and here we are. He chose the Sixers as well, D. Why do you think?
He did.
Why do you feel? Of course, Simmons and Embiid it starts with, but what made this one so attractive versus New Orleans or even Houston or whatever, Indiana, wherever else he may have been had an opportunity to go?
Sure. Well,
with his style, of course.
Right. Well, we'll be able to let him answer for himself, obviously, whenever he gets, you know, named and he has this press conference. So this is just going to be me from the outside looking in, not having any any other insight other than knowing the man a little bit over the years. So a couple of things. He likes a veteran group. When he got the Clippers job, he inherited some good talent there. I mean, you had Chris Paul. You had Blake Griffin, you had J.J. Redick, you had DeAndre Jordan. And the first year he goes in there, he wins 57 games. Now, everybody can point to...
In the West.
In the West. You can point to what he did not get accomplished in the postseason, and I get that, with the exception of winning a title with Boston, by the way. And I love how everybody is so quick to write, he's blown the 3-1 series leads, right? But can we please say he does have a championship, and he did get to the finals the second time with that team. There are a lot of people who coach in this league for a long, long time who never get to the finals. So, and the 3-1 lead, I get it, except for if you're going to do that, how about the number of people who get swept, right? So why is blowing the 3-1 lead, at least you won three, why do we not point out how often people get swept? Because a lot of the good coaches have had that happen to them as well. So I would say this, my biggest thing for me is that he has coached a lot of different styles of teams, right? So if you're going to inherit something that looks difficult, and obviously this year it looked difficult, you don't have a good mix because you have Horford as part of this equation and you don't have enough shooting and you invested in bully ball or whatever you want to call it, smash mouth. Whatever.
Yeah.
And so you inherit difficult, but he has coached a lot of different kinds of teams over the years. And if I go back to one of the Sixers-Clippers games, I don't know which year, Devon, so don't hold me to this, but clearly Embiid and Simmons are both playing. And when he was asked about them, and he used the phrase of, it's a Magic and Kareem style, like that's the kind of talent you have. So he clearly could see something when he was trying to plan to guard them that was high level. And that to me says, this is what you have. He's going to try to work with it. Does he need a shooter? Absolutely. They have to provide that for him. How they get that, I have one idea, but I don't know if that'll pan out. But, you know, he's going to give it a whirl. And I think, honestly, a new voice after 7 years can get, I'm not saying it equals five more wins. I think it can absolutely equal five more road wins. And a new person holding you accountable. It's like going into, you know, I was great in my grade school. Now I got to go to high school and I got to prove myself to my new teachers. And I think that's the way this is going to work because this guy's here for 5 years. So,
absolutely.
Dude, step up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. D-Line, I'm joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast Check. D out with Joe Torti tomorrow morning right here on 97.5. The Fanatic, you starting at 7 tomorrow?
Six.
Okay. Well, D, I wanted to jump to now. And by the way, I think that Clippers game was the one right before the All-Star break this year in February, which seems like 2 years ago because the pandemic that with everything going on. So it's surprising that you say that because that was only, what, now 8 months ago?
I know, but it feels like a lifetime.
It has. It certainly has. So now when you talk about all these different styles that he has played with, all of this different personnel, throughout the years from Orlando to Los Angeles, of course, Boston, and then in Los Angeles, and now here to Philadelphia, he's had a variety of different stars. And now he has two unique ones in Ben Simmons and in Joel Embiid. And first with Joel Embiid, the fact, is he the best big man since, and I don't know, since Blake Griffin, but he was different, but since Kevin Garnett, who was towards the end of his prime, where Joel Embiid is smack dab in the middle of his prime, and can he get him to buy in? You've covered Doc Rivers for many years. Can he get him to buy in?
Well, we'll see. I will tell you this, and they're covering him is one thing, but also like getting an understanding of who Doc is as a person is worthy. And back in June, Steve Kerr and Pete Carroll teamed up. I don't know if you know this.
With the podcast? Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. And Doc was on it. Right. So Doc was on one of the, and to just understand him as a person, I think is worthy. And one of the things is he said, you know, he went from playing TV right to head coach. And so he was given a lot of advice from coaches when he was got the Orlando job, and one of them was be close to your players, but not too close. And Doc would say, I think that was wrong. And he has learned over the years that being very close and sharing his experiences, and also when he sees something that's not right. So he said, I had a player who I didn't think he was living a lifestyle that wasn't good. So he said, so I told him. And he said he never liked me after I told him. And he said, but I have had other examples of where after the fact, the person comes back and says, thank you so much. I didn't appreciate it in the moment, but thank you for pointing something out. Mm-hmm. So I bring this up because when you bring up Embiid and Simmons, and I always say Brett Brown had to live through a losing culture. He didn't create the losing culture. He had to live through it because of what they were trying to do. So now when you ask people to do things in a winning way, it's hard because they're like, well, that's not what I had to do. That's not what I had to do. So I'm just saying that Doc has put it upon himself in the past, and I expect he will do the same here, that he holds people accountable and he's not afraid to tell you that I don't think you are living your best life, or I don't think you are doing your best on the basketball court. And if that is heartbreaking because the relationship, you know, goes whatever way, you know, but at the end of the day, right now, the relationship is he has 5 years. And if you don't want to get on board when he tells you, then you're going to be not enjoying your life. And I think that's what he has right now as a caveat.
And that goes with Ben Simmons as well, with some of those things, not only off the floor, as you just mentioned, but on the floor with his overall game, seeing what he can do and possibly even elevating his offensive game as well. I'm curious to see if he's going to have the ball in his hands throughout the entire game, or is he going to mix it up a little bit and have him playing off? That's going to be very interesting to me to see if he uses him maybe in a Blake Griffin style of offense.
Of course. And I think that will also depend on, you know, this year you had Shake Milton. I think Shake had some ups and then Shake had some downs. But if you see something positive in that, then you're going to try to. Devon, you and I both know, people can say what they want. There's not a lot of wiggle room with this roster, given the money that's been invested, because they believe they were investing in a championship roster.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be challenged to figure out how best to use those guys. And I hope that Shake can allow him to use Ben in a power forward position, at least part of any game.
Yeah, and finally, D. Lineham again joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast D. As far as right now goes, it looks like, you know, the front office is what the front office is, led by Elton Brand. But I don't mind it at this point, because Doc Rivers is going to probably, while he may not have a title, you know, he's going to have a voice. So how do you feel about the front office remaining the same as it is right now with Doc Rivers now in play, where he'll at least have his voice heard when it comes to personnel decisions, I'm guessing?
So here's one of the interesting things. Doc likes to, this is just from me talking to people that I trust in the league.
Okay.
Doc doesn't like to be part of picking the players. He will coach what you give him. And maybe that's because it's a lot, or maybe it's because he says, you know, I don't know. That's somebody else's job. I don't know why. But generally, of all his stops, everybody told me, he says, you tell me who I have to coach, I will figure out how to coach him. And maybe that's why I now in reflection say he's coached a lot of different ways or with a lot of different kinds of groups. So to answer your question, I don't think he's interested so much in picking who is here. I mean, I did listen on that podcast. He did say, look, we all want shooters. Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he's on there with, right. And he's on there with Steve Kerr. So of course, you know, it comes up because Steve's got a couple of the best. But other than that, so I think that's also a good thing, because as you hear that they want to shake up the front office, and Elton Brand said, you know, there were too many chefs in the kitchen. I'm paraphrasing, you know, using my own term. But I think this is a good thing, because now we will get to see the general manager that Elton believes he can be. Now he should have somebody hired that's an assistant to him, as opposed to, why are we still talking about, and I think it'll end the conversation, because you have now hired a coach. There's nobody of a president standard, Daryl Morey, all the names that Nelson, that would come in here when everything is in place, because you've lost your power at that point. So this, to me, becomes a relationship between Elton Brand and Doc Rivers. And Elton, you got to do your front office job, put your people in place that you trust, and make your decisions the way you think it should have been done. And Doc's going to coach those people. And then I would say at the end of the first year, if you think that you can't make it work between those two superstars, one of them would have to be moved, and it would be Doc who would ask for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, ask for that in return of that star. Got you.
Correct.
Dang, thank you so much. We'll make sure we're listening to you tomorrow, 6 a.m. with Joe Torti, as you guys get things started. So it's so much time we spent on that. We'll have to wait for your football stuff for tomorrow and Sunday. But thank you, Dave.
No problem. Devon, thanks so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Always. D. Lineham, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We'll be hearing you tomorrow, 6 a.m. with Joe Torti. Thank you, D.
Thanks, Devon. Thanks, Devon. I'll keep listening.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. D. Lynam on the Comcast Business Hotline. We went a little bit long, but we do have the Fanatic Football Pool on the other side, and then we'll continue with your phone calls. Ray, C-Notes, Dom, DT, Chuck, one open phone line. Thank you, guys. 610-632-0975. Thank you, D. We'll talk to you guys when we get back right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5, the Fanatic. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. We thank D. Lynam again for joining us. Great stuff, as always. Check out D. Lynam and Joe Torti tomorrow at 6. But it is almost time to play the Fanatic Football Pool presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Call the contest line right now, 215-263-0975. Be the fifth caller, and you'll win $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And we'll ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get it right, we'll put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. The prizes so far just added the Phillies triple play, including an Aaron Nola autographed ball, Rhys Hoskins autographed jersey, and Bryce Harper autographed bat. That's courtesy of our friends at T-Mobile. Your ticket to the Phillies with America's largest 5G network. Pool and Pro PR 121-inch snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Peter LaViolette autographed mini helmet. Godfather trivia game. Fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete. Talking teddy bear from the movie Ted 2. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 for PS4. Jamie Lynch's James Thrash bobblehead doll. A 4-year supply of snacks from Hers Snack Foods. And $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We're adding prizes all the time, folks. So make sure you guys pay attention and get in. The Fanatic Football Pool is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. All right, just that fast, since we only asked for the fifth caller, Tyler Zuli has the caller ready to go.
This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
All right, we're a couple of minutes late. That's my fault, but there's the cheesy game show music, and we love it. You know what that is. That means we are ready to play the game tonight with Angelo in Newtown Square. Angelo, good evening.
How's it going, Devon? How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Congratulations. You are the fifth caller, and you already win $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. So congrats on the $100.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Now I'm going to ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get it right, Angelo, you will be put in the drawing to win the grand prize of the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. You're a big football fan. I know it.
Yep, let's see it.
Let's do it. Angelo, who threw the touchdown pass to Nick Foles called the Philly Special?
Oh, come on now. Trey Burton.
Now, you see how easy that is? We want everyone to win. And, Angelo, that is correct. Congratulations. You are now in the running for the grand prize of the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it, including the $1,000 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Congrats. That was too easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was too easy, man.
Well, look, the team has been terrible. We want everybody to feel good, something feel good about the Birds. So we give you a layup like that. Oh, I can't say layup. Doug Peterson will chastise me if I say layup with that one. But yes, Trey Burton, great play. And guess what? Nick Foles came back to the sideline and said, Doug, let's run this play. Can Carson Wentz do that this weekend? Angelo, can he tell Doug what to do?
All right, let's see it. Carson needs to do a lot more than that. He needs to pull
some out of
that.
Oh, man, I can't believe that we are in this position trying to get our first win of the season at 0-2-1. It's amazing.
Yep.
Angelo, congratulations, man. I'm going to put you on hold, and Tyler will speak with you and get the remainder of your information. Have a great weekend, man, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You as well, man. You as well. And again, the Fanatic Football Pool is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Easy money right there. You already won them $100.
I got to ask you.
What?
Was that our easiest one yet?
I I don't know, because Donovan I thought was easy. 1999, second overall pick.
We are sharing the love, so, you know, that's... I'm glad we got another. I think I got to go.
Our winning percentage is very high.
I got this clipboard.
Yeah.
With all the winners, you know, the grand prize entries, drawings.
High. Very high.
Our percentage has to be way more than a quarter.
Very high. No doubt. I think we've had 4 losses max. What do we know? 2 weeks now? 10 days? We're every bit of 6-4.
Oh, we're definitely
6-4. Yeah. No question about it. All right, 610-632-0975. We do that every day, 4 times a day, 8 a.m., noon, 4 p.m., and 8 p.m. right here on 97.5. The Fanatic be the 5th caller. You win $100 cash automatically from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And then we'll ask you that simple, easy trivia question that we just gave you. We're very generous. Give you $100 like that. As always, when we give these away and someone wins, well, everyone wins when you're the 5th caller, I simply ask you to let me borrow a dollar. So that's $10 so far. Thank you, everyone. I'll be waiting for my dollar. All right, let's go back to the phone. 610-632-0975. Let's talk some birds. Eagle fans, I need to know how do they win this game this weekend? How do they win this game this weekend? We continue with the Doc Rivers conversation. Also, great stuff from Dee Lynam. She wanted you to listen to the Ringer podcast that was with Steve Kerr and Pete Carroll, where they had a great conversation with Doc Rivers. I would also, if you are interested in the Donald Sterling stuff, 30 for 30 podcast with Ramona Shelburne from ESPN. She did a series called The Sterling Affairs on the podcast. It's great, and Doc is really good in that also. So if you're trying to catch up and familiarize yourself with Doc Rivers, not just from seeing him from afar, playing against his teams, watching his teams in the playoffs, late games in Los Angeles, all of that, and you just want to get a little bit deeper into who Doc Rivers is, check those out. Those are some really good conversations, and we'll also give you the audio that Dee was talking about from February when the Sixers played the Clippers here, beating the Clippers that night before the All-Star break, and he compared them to Magic and Kareem. High praise. Very high praise. Let's go to Dallas and Ray next on the Fanatic. Ray, thanks so much for hanging on, man.
No problem, D. What's going on, buddy?
What's happening, man? How did they win this one? I don't know. The run game stuff so far with Jeremiah and Dan have been good. So what's your idea here?
Your guess is as good as mine, man, because to be honest with you, D, man, I have a few issues with the Eagles this season, man, but not just this season, just period. Tell me, at every position we have outside of right guard, right tackle, and maybe center and maybe defensive tackle. Every team in the NFL has a player on their team that you would rather have in that position over our team.
Every time.
I looked at it today. For two, what are the Eagles doing with cap money? I know they're trying to save money going into next season. Devontae Freeman signed with the Giants a week after he left visiting the Eagles for $3 million for the Giants. What are we doing except for harboring Corey Clement, who looks washed, by the way, and Boston Scott, who looks like a Pee Wee football player out there?
Yeah,
I'm so mad.
Well, listen, man, Ray, we talk every now and then. I'll say we talk often. We, you know, spread around, but we talk. And you listen, and we have these talks and all. A couple of weeks ago before the season got started, when we were still trying to dissect this team and break them down before the year got started, and one of the shows that we did that night, Ray, was how comfortable are you with this running back rotation? Because I asked that question because for me it was a legit question because I was not comfortable if Miles Sanders went down with just Boston Scott and Corey Clement. With all due respect with the things that they've shown us individually, where they've had those good games, Corey Clement for the whole rookie year, Boston Scott those last 4 games a season ago getting into the playoffs, I still did not necessarily believe that they were the answer as the rotation with Miles Sanders coming into the season. And I wanted a veteran back, whether it was Devontae Freeman or someone else, Carlos Hyde that we talked about. I just wanted them to be able to lean on a veteran going into this season with Miles Sanders to compliment him. And if he is injured, and so far he's missed a game because of the hamstring, he now has this glute problem. Who knows? But I'm with you.
I will say this also about Carson Wentz, and I said this a couple of seasons ago, and people thought I was crazy. When do you, outside of that one season, I heard Carson Wentz practicing in the offseason, getting ready for the season. I know he called his receivers down to where he was at one point working out with him, but people like Russell Wilson, people like Aaron Rodgers, you see these guys in the offseason working. I think Carson Wentz would rather be on his tractor than actually playing football. You have to love that game, love this game in order to be great. And I just don't see it out of him.
Yeah, I've heard that, Ray, where some people question his love for the game anymore, especially when you get paid this amount of money, that it starts to leave you. I am not there to believe that. I still think he loves the game. That guy plays hard, man. He plays hard. These three games, he has been playing hard. He has not been playing good, but I have not looked at it and said it's because of a lack of effort. He just has not been good. He needs to put in more effort to figure out what the problem is that he's having out there on the field right now. So I don't see it the same way. I still think he has that love and he's playing hard. I hope that it all comes together and we can talk about a great Carson Wentz performance on Sunday night, man. What's the outcome of the game?
I think the Niners get this one. I think the Eagles will actually play better, but I think the Niners get this one, 30-13.
30-13, Ray, and guess what? I can't be mad at you because I've seen the Eagles play so far. So, listen, man, thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. 30-13, San Fran. That is from Ray. Oh, man. Wow. And, yeah, we did that show. When we did that show in the running game and the rotation of the backs, it was almost as if I asked a ridiculous question because some people call and was like, seriously? The tweets that we got, seriously, you're asking this question? I know about Miles Sanders. I was talking about the other two. And if Miles Sanders came up lame, right? Came up injured. It happens. He's already banged up. He's not 100%. It can happen. And he is arguably their best weapon.
The poll never said Miles Sanders. Never said his name. All it said was running back.
Running back rotation. The group.
That's three of them. That's four of them if you want to include Jason Huntley.
The group.
It's the group.
The group.
And it's very much like when you were in school and you took tests, just because your best subject was history and Miles Sanders is history, right? Let's say you get an A, but Corey Clement is math and Boston Scott is science and Jason Huntley is spelling and you get C's and D's on those, it's going to bring your A grade down. And that's why we did it. We didn't ask for, is Miles Sanders a good running back or not? That's a silly question. We know the answer to that. We asked, how do you feel about the running back group as a whole?
Doesn't look good right now, does it? Does it? I don't think they wanted to give $3 million, but still, doesn't look good right now. How does that J.K. Dobbins thing that we talked about during the draft or Cam Ayers? Right now, you know, I understand J.K. Dobbins' kind of touches have gone down since game one, where he scored two touchdowns. Cam Akers, a little banged up right now. They're good running backs. Miles Sanders is a good running back. Boston Scott is a change of pace guy, but he cannot have a good volume of plays. And we know what he did in the playoffs. We know what he did the last four games. Pardon me, the playoffs, not so much against that Seattle team. No. No. Mm-mm. I like him. But I like them in doses.
You know what the most frustrating thing about what you just said there is?
Mm-hmm.
All of our conversations eventually circle back to that specific spot. You didn't say a name, you didn't say a position, you didn't say a pick, but you know exactly who and what position and what pick you're talking about. Because there's every single time we go to this is a deficiency, it circles back to that pick. Because whether it's defensive line play, AJ Epenesa was there. Whether it's running back play, J.K. Dobbins was there. Whether it's taking another receiver. Right, Cam Akers is there.
Van Jefferson.
If you take Van Jefferson or Denzel Mims, it just is going to always circle back to that
offensive
pick.
Offensive line.
It hurts.
You talk about Epenesa.
You can do it all night.
Oh, man. 610-632-0975. We still have not mentioned the name. Let's go to next C-Notes here on 97.5 The Fanatic. C-Notes.
Yo, what's going on, DG?
Yo, man, thanks for hanging on, bro. Really appreciate it.
No problem, man. Well, yeah, I want to talk about Doc Rivers. Perfect fit for this team, I'll say. And I don't know, you know, he's going to have Ben Simmons playing like he never played before, I'll tell you that.
Well, you would hope. Right? You would hope, Sinos, that he's able to look at him and say, first of all, I've defended you, right, with the Los Angeles Clippers. So I've played against you. I've defended you. And I think I have a good idea of what I wanted to do to stop you. Whether it worked or not, that was the plan. So I have a good idea of who you are. Now that I'm able to get my hands on you myself, this is my idea, Ben. Let's sit down and look at this whiteboard here. Let's pull out this iPad or this tablet. Let's look at some of these plays and let's talk about this, because I have some ways, and I hope that he is able to sit there and accept, C-Notes, the coaching, the direction, the information, the thoughts. You know, hey, he may not like it, or he might say, hey, Doc, I like to do it this way. Can we? Well, you know what, Ben? Let's tweak it here. We'll do it your way, but here's the other thing that I like to go with it. Right?
Yeah.
A relationship, a dialogue. We just want to be better.
Well, you think he can coach this team like he coached the Celtics team that he had? Like, I'm not saying we got a Paul Pierce, we got Ray Allen, but, you know what I mean? Fits with their style. Do you think he can do it?
I'm not going to sit here and say yes. But I think with the people who are available, he was the best choice to answer your question to do what you're asking. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I like the move. I like the move.
I do too. And again, I've had my questions about him over the years, the things that have happened with some of his coaching in situations where players have taken all the heat. He has gotten off. He is a very good coach, though. Championship under his belt. A lot of playoff games. 900 plus wins in the regular season. Can't take anything away from him. This was the right hire.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with it.
All right, man. Well, listen, Sino's always good to catch up with you, man. Thanks so much, man.
No problem.
We'll talk to you. 610-632-0975. Dom wants to talk about the Lou Williams comments made by Charles Barkley. We're going to give Dom that audio on the other side so everybody else is caught up on that. DT, Chuck, Dan, Joey, one open phone line, 610-632-0975. We'll give you the poll as well on 97.5 The Fanatic. Michael Lee from The Athletic at 9:10 to talk about Doc Rivers. We're running with you this Friday night. It's Football Friday, Eagles, Niners. How do they win? Give us the score as well at the end right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. 97.5. The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
8:29 on a Football Friday. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens hanging out with you until 10 o'clock. Michael Lee at 9:10 from The Athletic. 9:30, our weekly NFL picks to get you ready for the weekend and make some money, but only put like 10 cents down because we don't want to be responsible. 610-632-0975. So that's what we have left.
Devon Givens is not responsible for any losses.
No.
Got to put that disclaimer in there.
Exactly. And when you win during the Fanatic football pool, I just ask for a dollar. That's it. $1. All right, let's keep it moving because we have a lot of people. We got DT, Dom, Chuck, Dan, Joey, and Dan as well. Let's go to DT in Los Angeles. DT, what's going on?
Okay, the Eagles 37 and San Francisco struggles to score 17 to 20 points.
Ooh, how?
I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to tell you how.
37-17, birds.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the why. National Spotlight Sunday Night Football game. Carson's job is on the line. Doug's job is low-key on the line. The offensive line, Hall of Famer Justin Peters, people saying he's done. Schwartz's job, low-key, is on the line. That's the why. It ain't got nothing to do with us. Now, here's the how. Last week, 15 pressures, 8 sacks. No fumble recoveries yet, but they were beasting out. The game was kind of sucky, but if you watch defense, they were kind of coming to life. That's a lot. 15 pressures, 8 sacks. Schwartz always shows off. I don't have faith in him, but he always shows off on big national TV games because he's always auditioning for a head coaching job. He's going to turn the D loose because everybody's watching. It's not his normal MO because he's forced to. It's going to be a lot of blitzing. They're going to get their first fumble recoveries. Remember, I said this. I'm calling this the perfect storm game. There's going to be fumble recoveries. It's going to be interceptions in the secondary because of the fierce pressure being put on by the D-line, which we saw last week, so it's not outrageous. Now, on the O-line, the last thing to go for a fighter is his punch. The last thing to go for offensive linemen is their run blocking. They're going to come out running and running hard. The O-line is frustrated. You got three Hall of Famers on that line. They want to punch people in the mouth when you get frustrated. Watch the run blocking. It's going to be a feeding frenzy for the offensive line. And by the way, Miles Sanders, my fellow Penn Stater, shout out to you for taking the bullet for Doug by him telling you a 24-year-old is fatigued. I know you looked Coach sideways, gave him a little side eye and said, okay, Doug, I got you on that one because things are kind of crumbling. But feet need a rock. Sanders over 100 yards rushing and under or around 200 with the catches. Finally, we always play San Francisco well. Go look in the books. We always score a lot. Some teams just match up good with other teams. It will be a feeding frenzy for the Birds. Birds in the 30s. San Francisco struggling to get to 17 to 20 points. I'm DT from L.A., and it's a lock. Mm. Win by 10 or more.
Love it. I mean, put that down. Lock.
And remember what I said. It's the national spotlight perfect storm game. All these jobs on the line. They ain't doing it for you or me. They're doing it because they don't want to be unemployed. A statistic of COVID. Mm. They're going to play hard. Mm. The dogs are coming out. You heard it on this show. About fourth quarter, you might see Hurts actually taking snaps because the game's a wrap.
Wow. DT coming in with the great game plan. DT, enjoy the game. If it plays out that way, we want to hear from you next week.
Let me give a shout out.
Go for it.
Give a shout out to St. Ann's Parish.
All right. You got it, man. Thank you, DT.
All right. Thanks.
You got it, man. Be safe out there. Look at that. Running game, the run block, and they're going to go crazy out there in San Francisco. Charlie Garner game for Miles Sanders. How about this? Fumble recovery, interception, D-line pressure all over the quarterback because they're not going to be ready. Nick Mullins won't be ready. He hasn't seen this defense. He only saw the Giants defense, the Jets defense. He's not ready, okay?
Devon, can you do me a favor?
What?
Now that you've done all that, you said all that?
Yes. And they lost to the Cardinals in week one. Just remember.
Can you unplug your PlayStation for me? Because that's the only place that happens.
Hey, man. You heard DT. He said it's a lock. So put your money on it. That seven that we were talking about during the draft line show. Come on. Make some money. DT, make some money. Draft lines. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app. Check it out. All right. On the Doc Rivers side, Dom wants to talk about Lou Williams, and Charles Barkley was on with Anthony Gargano on the midday show. So for those who don't know what Dom is about to talk about with Lou Williams' cut from Charles Barkley, take a listen.
And then Lou Williams, who's the best sixth man, well, the other guys won sixth man, but Lou Williams has been the best sixth man maybe in NBA history. Those guys were awful.
Awful. Okay, they were awful. In the bubble, he's talking about. In the playoffs, specifically against the Denver Nuggets. Okay, they never really got it going. Lou Williams, as we know, he had to leave because there was a death in the family. He had to go handle that. The same with Montrezl Harrell. He was talking about the other sixth man. That was Montrezl Harrell, who won this year for the Clippers. And once they got back, trying to implement them back into things, Patrick Beverley, he left. He had to come back. Also, get back into the groove of things with the team. They had already started playing when I believe Lou came back. So same with all three of them, actually. They all left for a significant amount of time due to deaths in the family or close family friends. And we know what happened. Doc Rivers ultimately loses his gig, and he is now the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. No official announcement yet from the team, but according to Adrian Wojnarowski, and that's where it is right now. So let's get ready.
I'm going to let Dom tell it, but I will just tell you this. That was not the part of the clip that he was talking about.
Ah.
It's a different part.
Ah, so they cut up.
I'll let him tell it.
They cut up the wrong one.
No. I cut that one for a reason. I think I communicated it with you during the break as to what Dom wanted to
talk about. All right, well, let's go to Dom because I'm guessing I think I know where Dom is going. Philadelphia again. Dom, what's up, Tasty Cake Dom?
Hey, Devon, how are you?
Hey, man.
I had to talk to you about this because, that's what I want to talk about. Charles Barkley is, first of all, I want to say that your Eagles pregame shows are awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I love your show with Jamie. And I love Doc Rivers, so I got a lot of love. But Devon, Charles Barkley played with a sixth man that's in the Hall of Fame.
Bobby Jones.
Okay? To me, Lou Williams don't make the top five. He's not my top five. Is he in yours? Is he better than Paul Pressey?
No.
Is he better than the microwave, Vinny Johnson? No. Is he better than Michael Cooper? No. And then Bobby Jones and Devon, the greatest sixth man of all time, is one of the top 50 basketball players ever, is Kevin McHale. He's the greatest sixth man of all time.
I'll give you another good one, who's a sixth man slash starter, Manu Ginobili, who accepted that role with the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even think of Ginobili, and that's a great one. Kevin McHale, I got Kareem, the Dream, Tim Duncan. Kevin McHale is the fourth greatest post player I've ever seen in my life. It was automatic. I mean, Kevin McHale is, when they did the top 50 players of all times, he's in that. Lou Williams is top 50 player of all times, isn't he?
No.
I mean, I was stunned. To me, the guy that I thought Charles would say would be Bobby Jones because he played with him, his teammate.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess with so many people saying it because he's won the Sixth Man Award.
Awesome.
Well, because he won the Sixth Man Award three times, and, you know, it's basically, everybody basically calls it the Lou Williams Award at this point. And so I think that's where Charles was going. But what do you think about Doc? You said you like Doc. What do you think he brings to the team?
Devon, I am so excited because I think we're going to see clean, efficient offense. I think the seven-year turnover machine is over. I think that we'll take care of the ball, and I think that Joel Embiid is going to lead the NBA in free throw attempts next year. That's what I see coming out of this.
Yeah, I think so as well. He is an offensive guy. He certainly is, and he knows how to really draw up some positive plays, some ATO, some ATOs after timeout and those things, and the motion that they will have on the floor, traditional offense, where there'll be a lot of pick and roll mixed in there as well. Not just the action away, but giving them an opportunity to run pick and roll. And Embiid has to be better, but he hasn't done it a lot. So I think he will be better because that's a big dude, man, and it'll only help him. The pick and pop sometimes. Tobias Harris obviously was able to thrive in the Doc Rivers offense as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing that one too, Dom, with what he is able to do. He shot 43% from three in 18-19 while with Doc before he was traded here in Philadelphia. Come on.
I agree with you. I always thought that the problem with the Sixers this year was style, not roster. I'm excited to see Doc Rivers coach this roster. I mean, Al Horford didn't forget how to play basketball, Devon.
I agree with that.
I mean, there were so, like in the Celtics series, there were such obvious matchups that needed to be exploited that Brett it was oblivious to. I called you and talked to you about it. You know, you got guys, you get Jaylen Brown, three fouls with 6 minutes to go in the first quarter, and they don't go at him. And he's guarding a guy he's guarding Al Horford, who's 7 inches bigger than him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got isolated Al Horford in the post there, and Brett didn't do it. And maybe it made me batty. So, Doppler is going to recognize that. I'm excited to see what he does next year. I can't wait.
Yeah, I am as well, man. This brings a new level of excitement back to the 76ers after a disappointing season this past campaign. Dom, as always, man, thanks so much. And have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. Yep. Love you back, Dom. Appreciate it, man. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 here on this Football Friday. Tyler Zuli's producing the show. And Tyler, you have our poll that we have not given to the folks out there in regards to the Birds. And the poll on Twitter at 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler, what do you have for the folks?
Yes, sir. So the question tonight is based around your, I would call it uncertainty at best, for this upcoming Sunday for the Eagles 49ers game. So we asked the question, we went a little bit different than the usual, just do they win or lose?
Okay.
So the question is, what is the outcome of the Eagles 49ers game this Sunday? Eagles win close, Eagles win big, 49ers win close, 49ers win big. So far, we have a little bit over 600 votes in this one. Over 52% of the people say that the 49ers win this game big. 18% of the people say the 49ers win close. 23% of the people say the Eagles win close. Only 6% think that the Eagles will win big.
Okay. All right. Well, again, go to 97.5 The Fanatic, cast your vote, and let's see what happens. We have about an hour left for you to get in. Eagles win close. Eagles win big. 49ers win close. 49ers win big. What do you guys have? 610-632-0975. Tim Legler on with Anthony Gargano earlier this afternoon. Later in the show, probably around, I think it was like 1:30, Ant had him on. But it was a good conversation. I was definitely listening to Anthony and Tim Legler. Here is Tim Legler of ESPN on Embiid and Simmons.
At the end of the day, Doc Rivers has to get certain things out of those two players that Brett Brown wasn't. And if he doesn't, I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've won or how long you've been around. If you can't get Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons to address some of the things they need to address individually as players and get them closer to their peak, if you can't do it, it doesn't matter who you are.
Can they do it? Can they do it? Will they accept the coaching? Right now, we hear about Carson Wentz and the lack of production that we're seeing from him, the great play that we're seeing from him from time to time, the very good, consistent play that we've seen more often. And he's in his own way a lot of times is what people were saying. He is in his own way, right? In his own way. And they're saying he's not accepting the coaching. He hears it. He's listening, but he's not taking it to the field. He's doing his thing. Hero ball. I see this. I want to do this. I see that. I'm going to do that. I'm not taking the coaching. Then the regression starts. The footwork starts to decline. The mechanics that everybody's talking about. All eyes are on Carson Wentz. All eyes are going to be on Simmons and Embiid, because while you can point the finger at Brand and the rest of the front office, Brown is now gone. They are the one and two culprits of this thing if it fails. And that's what we're going to start to point the finger even more than we already have with now a new head coach. And we said we did. I know I said it. Don't want to see those two moved without a new coach, a new voice, a new system, a new style, a new approach from them to take that next step. You just heard Tim Legler on with Anthony earlier speaking about that. We'll hear from Stephen A. Smith as well. Kendrick Perkins with The Morning Show. Stephen A. Smith with Mike Show. And we have Michael Lee from The Athletic at 9:10. Let's go back to the phones. Chuck in Las Vegas on The Fanatic. Chuck, what's happening?
Hey, man.
What's going on?
Yeah, not much. I mean, I don't have a whole lot on the Birds.
That's all right.
You guys were talking about J.K. Dobbins, and man, I almost had an aneurysm. I mean, you're talking about a guy who rushed for 2,000 yards and 21 touchdowns at Ohio State. But, you know, we're good, man. We have one running back, so we're good, Devon, right?
Yeah, everybody else has at least two, but, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, so I'll say 16-13 San Francisco.
The defense shows up, huh?
Yeah, I just think it's going to be an ugly football game. The over-under is at 45.5, the second lowest total among all the games. I think under is a strong play this week, and that's really all I have on the Birds, man.
Well, that's all right, but what do you have for the Sixers, man? A big hire, and they have a roster that they are going to go with, or maybe possibly they're able to move some people along. So what do you think about the new-look Sixers with the head coach, and then what happens with the roster?
Well, I just have a lot of concerns about the roster construction going forward. I mean, I told you I do like Doc Rivers. I think that was a really strong hire. But this is a players' league, Devon. It's not a coaches' league. And, you know, I was looking at our salary cap for next year, and this is a franchise in peril right now. We're going to have to pay $61 million to two players, who neither of whom our best player. We owe $61 million to Tobias Harris and Al Horford. We owe another $60 million to Joel and Ben. Ben's contract extension kicks in this year, so he gets a raise of $20 million. I mean, the salary cap is at 115. I just gave you, we're already at 120. I know it's a soft cap and everything, but I guess I came here with questions, Devon. How in the world do you get this team to be a title contender?
Well, I think one of the things that they are going to do, or at least try, is if they look to move one of those contracts, big deals, it will probably be Al Horford. And I say that because it's probably the one that's the most easiest to move because he has less years on his deal. And you know how that contract at the end can start to be moved around to the teams that just want to clear some salary cap, get it off their book, get it off their books, and they'll move it around, that type of thing. So I think that might be the play there. And it may not happen this offseason. It could be happen in season, and therefore you acquire someone that way. That's the best move. Josh Richardson has 1 year remaining on his deal. That is an attractive deal to move with 1 year remaining. Can you get something really good back, though, is the question. And I think those are the two, really, Horford and Richardson, that will be the focal point of trying to move to get other things. And if they throw something in those deals, you know, Mike Scott and his contract with 1 year's left, 1 year left on his deal, those types of players with that type of money left on their deal to make the deal work out wherever it goes, however it happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, that sounds good. I mean, I didn't even mention Richardson, who's owed about $11 million next year.
Yeah.
So that's, now we're up to about $130 million for five players. And, I mean, what you said about Horford, I mean, I don't see how you're going to be able to do anything with him. I honestly, Devon, I would offer multiple first round picks for someone to take just part of that contract and just take him off our team.
Yeah.
I would give up multiple first rounders.
And I believe that, like they say in sports, man, everybody's movable. You know, you can move anybody. It's just how you put that thing together. Will Elson Brand be savvy enough with the rest of the front office to put something together, get something good in return, and help your team out while you still, of course, are getting rid of some extra weight on your roster and, of course, on your salary cap. So, Chuck, we'll see what happens, man. I can't wait to hear from Doc Rivers and Elson Brand and see what their plan is going forward. Thanks for the call, Chuck. Enjoy the game this weekend, man. Since you already said 16-13, we'll see what happens. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Yeah, thank you, guys. And, yeah, thanks, man. You got me feeling a little better. I'm still very concerned, but you got me feeling a little better. Thanks, bro.
Thanks, man. You got it. Really appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Joey in South Philly next on the Fanatic. Joe, how you doing?
What's up? How's your night going?
It's going all right, man. Trying to get some people to, you know, lay some things out, figure out how this thing happens this weekend. So, you know, open dialogue. How about that?
Okay. Sounds great to me. So here's my perspective on this week's game against San Francisco. Number one, just by what we're seeing, Carson Wentz stinks. This football team stinks. The line on this game is the Eagles +7. That tells me they're going to get smoked. San Francisco wins this game 34-17. I see Carson Wentz throwing three picks by mid-third quarter, and he gets benched. I'm calling it now. Carson Wentz gets pulled from this game. Three picks by the third quarter, we lose 34-17.
If that happens, man, people are going to be furious, and that's when we're going to start to hear the conversation about the backup quarterback.
Well, you'll hear from me that night. You'll hear from me there immediately after the game. Which is this? By the way, what time is this game? Because I haven't checked.
This game is an 8:20 kickoff.
8:20 kickoff. Okay. Well, you'll hear from me as soon as possible after the game, maybe the following night. But again, I'll go on record: 34-17 Eagles. Carson Wentz again, three picks by the third quarter. I think he gets pulled this game, and it's going to be mayhem in Philadelphia.
All right, man. Listen, Joe, I know how you feel. You made it very clear. Thanks for the call. And, Joe, not happy with the birds.
He's got every right to be unhappy.
I can't. That's what I'm saying. I can't sit there and say anything.
I mean, this. You say that in week two, we probably go, all right, it's a little premature to say that, and it turns out they lose that game by almost effectively that exact score.
Mm-hmm.
You say it in week three, you might say it's the Bengals. Say it in week four against one of the defending NFC champions. I don't care how many injuries they have.
Right.
That's the. You have every right to feel that way at this point.
Yeah. Oh, man. Our football team. This is what it is. Dan, Aaron, Phil, Tyrone, two open phone lines. When we come right back, we'll get to you because we have Michael Lee at 9:10. Want to talk to Mike about Doc Rivers and everything that we just heard from Chuck and everybody else who's interested in 76ers with this move. We want to hear from Michael Lee of The Athletic, who covers the NBA and the East Coast as well for The Athletic, and get his thoughts on the Sixers' new lead man. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10. Football Friday, 9:30 pick segment with Tyler Zuli right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic. Yeah.
A59 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975. Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio. Only from Comcast. Michael Lee of The Athletic will join us at 9:10. Talk about Doc Rivers, the Sixers, and their partnership. Was this the right move? So we'll hear from Mike at that time as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio. Only from Comcast, Tyler Zuli and I will give our picks at 9:30 tonight, since Mike will be on at 9:10. And we will talk to you. 610-632-0975. We keep it going as far as the Birds. Keep it going as far as Doc Rivers. Let's have this chat here on this Football Friday night. Football Friday on The Fanatic is driven by AAA. Wherever the open road takes you, take AAA. All right, let's go to Dan in Doylestown here on The Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
Hey, D, how's it going, man?
What's up, Dan? How you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. I just want to talk to some Birds. I've been hearing a lot of callers throughout the day just really down on the Birds, and like, I totally understand it with the start, but I don't think it's fair to, you know, evaluate Doug or Carson, you know, when you look at the weapons they've had out there on a week-to-week basis. I mean, you look at Carson's whole career, he just hasn't had those weapons. He's overcome that to this point, but, you know, you start hearing people say, like, he's going to, you know, be benched or get rid of Peterson. I just don't see it yet. I mean, they don't have the weapons to evaluate him like that.
All right, so after year number five for both of them, the success that they've had, three playoff appearances for Doug Peterson, and this being year number five, Carson Wentz only able to appear in one. We've seen enough of a level of success, Dan, and in my opinion, to look at them and say, you know what, they can do this, they can do that. Carson Wentz should be better at this point. Can he elevate even the lesser players that they have at the skill positions? Can they elevate their play? You don't think it's fair to look at them, Dan, and say Carson Wentz has been tabbed as one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, and what do elite quarterbacks do? They do what's best. They do what they can. They do the best that they can with the people that they have and still find a way. And we saw him do it last season. Why is it not happening again?
Yeah, man. I mean, I hold him to a high standard. I hold Doug Peterson to a high standard. But, you know, I just don't want to see anyone give up on him after when, you know, they're working. They're not working with a lot out there. You know, I don't want to see, you know, Doug Peterson end up being a scapegoat or, you know, start the backup talks or trade Wentz, any of that, until, you know, until we see a full season when, or even just a game, like a single game where Wentz has, you know, his full repertoire of weapons out there. I mean, you're totally right. Like, he has held, he's proved it. He proved it last year when, you know, he brought us to the playoffs, and I don't even think they had a receiver with over 500 yards. I mean, that's
Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert.
That speaks a lot, but, you know, I want to see a game with Wentz where he has his weapons out there, and, you know, a game plan that Peterson can draw up when he has his weapons out there. You know, I just don't want to, I mean, I hear what you're saying, that you have to evaluate him like that, especially because he did it last year and he's done it before, but, you know, I don't want to be moving on from any of them just yet until we see that. So that's kind of where I'm at. But I kind of contradicting, but I do have a question for you that I've been talking about with some of my buddies.
Mm-hmm.
If you could take Doug Peterson and give him the situation that Andy Reid has in Kansas City, give him Mahomes, give him all those receivers, give him Kelsey,
mm-hmm.
or give Wentz Mahomes' position where he has all those receivers, he has Andy Reid. And another thing, he has a legit offensive coordinator in Bieniemy. I think that's a huge issue for the Eagles. We need an offensive coordinator. But if you give Wentz that position, you give Doug Peterson that position, which one do you think has more success?
I think, wow, sheesh. That's a good question. Swapping sides, basically swapping quarterbacks and seeing where they would fare. Well, Patrick Mahomes, it seems that he's the more talented one. Can he?
Absolutely.
Just
swapping Doug Peterson's role with Andy Reid's role or Carson Wentz's role with Patrick Mahomes' role, just putting either one of them in Mahomes' shoes or Andy Reid's shoes. I just wanted to know who you thought would have more success there.
Wow, that's a great question, man. Wow. Well, listen, you know what? Let me think about that, Dan. Thanks for the call, man. Well, what do you have for the score this weekend?
I'm actually going to ride with the Eagles, man. I think, you know, like I just said, I don't think they have a lot of weapons, but I'm looking at the Niners. You know, they have some banged up receivers. I know they have Samuel coming back this week, but and Kittle. But still, the run game's a little banged up. Garoppolo's banged up. Bose is banged up. So the pass rush is not what it was last year to that full extent. And I think the Eagles are desperate, man. They're going to come out hungry, and I think they're going to play them tight. And I think it's going to be low scoring. I think around 24-17 Eagles.
Oh, look at that. That would be a nice Saturday, Sunday night, Monday, where we get an opportunity to sit there
stars
and talk
come
about
out when the lights shine bright, right?
Let's see who are those stars, man. Appreciate it, Dan. Have a great weekend. Great breakdown, and we'll answer that question. Man, who would thrive more, Andy or Doug in that? Because you can say, of course, Andy Reid is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best to do it with the quarterbacks. But Patrick Mahomes is so good. Man. I would say Doug and Mahomes. I think Mahomes is that good.
I think that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy are an amazing team. And I think they play off each other's strengths incredibly well.
Yeah.
But anytime you're offering me the opportunity to have
Mahomes with Doug Peterson,
Tyreek Hill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, all of that, I'm going to take it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm going there. Going Pat Mahomes. Yeah, Tyrone and Conchahokin. What's up, Ty?
Hey, how you doing, Devon? How you doing tonight, man?
Hey, man. What did you think about that question that he just threw at us?
The switch.
Yeah.
Well, consider how Carson played in 2017 when he had a roster around him, I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you, man. But man, Pat Mahomes is that good.
He is. But we also seen Wentz play on the MVP level too. When you know,
sure.
I don't know, but I wanted to touch on these running backs. Why haven't they let the Evander kid run the ball?
Yeah, I don't know. They went with I don't think he's been active yet. Has he been active yet? I think just Huntley has been active, and that's the only other one so far.
I don't get it. Because even if he can't pass block, you know, he's a big boy.
He's a big bruiser.
You know, give him a chance. You know, I haven't seen enough of Corey Clement. You know, I like Boston Scott, but not so much of Boston Scott. And I believe you got to get some nasty out there. There's no nasty. All the backs are pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
And when
no, that's why I wanted another back in the offseason.
Right, no, I agree. But if you are going to release,
right.
If you do at least have one big guy, at least give him a chance. Get him out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm seeing with this Philadelphia Eagles team is that they're making it too complicated. Like, you lose L.J. Ford. Look at him. You lose Rasul Douglas. Look at him now. You know,
it's
like the list is going on. They're making football, and I believe, just too complicated. Just let these guys play.
Yeah, and right now with Carson Wentz not playing at the level that we expected him, it's almost like we're asking him to just dumb things down and simplify it. so he can find his way. And once he gets back to that place, then you start to do the more exciting plays, those types of things that will really, really open up the offense a lot more. But right now, like people were talking about, go with that running game and ride Miles Sanders and hope that Clement and Scott can do something. But meanwhile, you're opening up the passing game with Zach Ertz and Greg Ward in the middle of the field. You just hope upon hope that you can do something on the outside.
Right, and you know, I'm looking at play calls and just scheme, and it's just like, you know, they got to help Carson out. The offensive line is not where it used to be, so you can't have these long seven-step drops and things like that. You know, give them something short to work with. You know, and the screen game, where's the screen game at?
It's not working. The screen game is not working.
it's just like the whole playbook just blew up, and it's just no good right now. It's crazy.
It is.
I've never seen that like it.
It is, man. Haven't seen anything like it yet. Here we are, and we hope that they can get it fixed, man. Can they get it fixed this weekend?
Yeah, I'm not winning this weekend, 24-17.
Oh, same number. Yeah. Birds win. Tyrone. All right, Ty, listen, man, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. We'll talk again, man.
All right, take it easy, man. Have a good night.
You too. 610-632-0975. Philip on the cell. Let's check in with Phil here next before we get the mic. What's up, Phil?
How you doing, man?
Good.
Now, I didn't call about this Doug and Andy thing, obviously, because dude just asked
questions. Yeah, he just dropped that on us.
But let me chime in on that real quick because that's easy. That's a layup.
Mahomes.
Andy with Carson will be better than Doug with Mahomes because I think Andy knows what he wants to do and knows how to get it done. I don't think Doug knows what the hell he's doing. I think Doug got lucky. I think he got fortunate by winning that chip. Doug, I don't think. Now, I wouldn't call him, you know, whatever. Some people used to call him back in the day. I wouldn't diss him as hard as people used to diss him when he first got here. Mm. But Doug, listen, man, Doug don't know what he can't convey what he wants to do to his people and get them to execute consistently. Andy can get it done. Andy knows what he wants to do, and he can convey that to his people, and they can do it, execute it consistently. There's always an opposing team. Mm-hmm. They know what they want to do also sometimes, so you always have that to deal with, so obviously you're not going to win all the time. But Doug, listen, man, Doug, he ain't it. But anyway.
Okay.
Right. Now, the reason why I called, man, is because kind of what I was talking about yesterday, man, is like the Sixers fan base, we dodged a train yesterday, dodged a bullet yesterday. You ever see when, like, somebody not paying attention and they just miss getting hit by a car, a truck, or sometimes on YouTube you'll see somebody just miss getting hit by a train? That's what happened yesterday by Ballmer firing Doc Rivers. Now, because this team was getting ready to hire Mike D'Antoni, and that wouldn't have been the right move. It probably would have been entertaining to some people, you know, how the up and down pace. But if you're about that championship life, which a lot of people in this city, I don't think they are. I think they want entertainment over championships, but that's another story. He ain't going to get it done. And one of the problems I see is that, you know, some of the people, some of Colangelo people, in my view, if they're still there, and I think they're going to be nipping. They're probably going to be saying little things behind Elton Brand's back, whatnot. And I just think it's not a good deal.
Okay, all right, man. Well, listen, we'll be talking more about it and seeing where this whole thing goes. Hey, man, enjoy the game this weekend. We'll be talking a lot of Sixers, of course, going forward. Man, thanks for the call, Phil.
No problem.
You got it, man. And as Phil talks about the Sixers right there, we have to continue the Sixers conversation. Guys, hang on. We'll get to you, Mean, Sean, Wade, Aaron, and Nate, because we have my guy from The Athletic, Michael Lee, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast to see where Mike is on this move by the 76ers. Mike, good evening. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
How you feeling?
I was looking forward to game two until I realized that half the Heat roster was in IR. So I'm not as thrilled as I probably would have been.
I know, and I saw your article about the injuries now with Bam out and of course Goran Dragic now out as well, and the injury to Jimmy Butler, that we're not going to be treated to the series that we expected, man. Because I actually thought the Heat had a really, really good shot to win this thing, and you're right, man. We may not get that same result.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking forward to it because I think that Miami was really getting disrespected throughout their whole run. They beat a really good Milwaukee Bucks team. You know, a lot of people may think that Giannis is overrated or shouldn't have won the MVP. He should have won the MVP, and they had him looking confused and lost. And they shut down, you know, the team that had the best record throughout the course of the season. It was on a 70-win pace for most of the year. Like, they deserve to be here. They earned the right. And we earned the right to kind of have a really competitive series between – you know, a really good Heat team that's been slept on most of the year, but has found a way. I mean, Jimmy Butler has emerged as a real leader. He's found his tribe down there, and it's just been a fun team to watch. So the fact that, you know, you take out two major pieces, it just looks like, you know, LeBron's probably already got his fourth ring already signed. There's a pinky finger already set to have that Laker championship. So yeah, it's disappointing. So.
Yeah, and what's the number now with one of the people to win a championship with three different franchises?
And he'd be the third guy. But Danny Green would be with him.
Yep.
Because you're talking about John Sally and Robert Horry. LeBron could be the first guy to be the finals MVP three times in a row. So yeah. That would be something new.
And Danny Green with the Spurs, Raptors, and the Lakers, if they're able to pull this one off, man. But the one thing and reason why, of course, we had you on, and you can check out Michael Lee at The Athletic, at Mr. Michael Lee on Twitter if you want to follow his work on The Athletic and like that Miami story. Mike also has some thoughts because he's been here. He's been covering the 76ers for the last couple of years, covering the Eastern Conference, and covering the NBA overall for many years now. Mike, Doc Rivers, once he became available, was he the ideal choice for the 76ers once he was let go by the Clippers?
You know, Doc is a great ambassador for a team. He's a great face of the team. He can handle, guide a team through adversity. He can be the, like I said, be the face of a franchise, whether good or bad. So in terms of selling, you know, yourself to the fans and having somebody in there who can say the right thing and get people to rally behind you, Doc Rivers is the right guy. But I'm not sure if he's the right guy for this team. Because I think that the Sixers have a lot of problems that I'm not sure if he can address. And while I love to see, you know, a black coach get an opportunity to, you know, get a job right after losing a job, which doesn't happen very often, I'm not sure if this is the right job because it sort of puts him in a position where a lot of the negative trends of his run with the Clippers may not be reversed by coming to Philadelphia. One of the issues that he had, you know, in his last couple of years was chemistry and trying to get guys to be on the same page and unite and play for each other. We know the issues that the Sixers had last year and trying to be on the same page with one another. If that's one of the main, you know, issues that you've had, it's kind of hard to see you coming here and fixing this right away. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, they get along. They hated each other at the end. You know, and then you saw this year, they had a 3-1 lead up against the Denver Nuggets, and you see that there's a little friction between, you know, Paul George and some of the guys who were left over from last year's team. They didn't necessarily mesh at any point through the course of the year. So there were a lot of challenges that the team faced, and, you know, but I feel like that team really underachieved, and they disappointed anybody who has spent the last 14 months really looking forward to a Lakers-Clippers series. And so when you look at the Sixers now with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, is Doc going to be the guy to really demand and get the most out of them? And I think I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying that I would have liked to seen them try something new and try a voice that we're not familiar with. There's nothing against Doc. I think he's a really good coach. But I'm not sure if this is the right situation.
Interesting. So maybe one of the younger assistant coaches out there that have not yet gotten a chance?
Somebody who has some cachet. Maybe he's been on the bench of a team that's won a championship, maybe he's won a championship.
Sam Cassell as a name.
Sam Cassell, even Ty Lue came here, which I guess ownership wasn't high on him. They didn't really seem to treat him with the respect that he needed on his visit as a championship coach. And I guess maybe they knew his doc was on the way that they want to get the guy that he worked for as opposed to the apprentice. So, but I would have liked to seen a new, fresh approach because I think that, the Sixers sort of need that. Doc's going to come in and be able to, say I won a championship. I coached KG. I coached Blake Griffin. I coached DeAndre Jordan. I coached some, quality big men. So, listen to me. I can get you where you need to go. I like Doc. But, his 7 years with the Clippers, they won 3 playoff series. I'm not saying that he's not a good coach. I just know that there were a lot of trends. A lot of things were trending in a negative direction, and the Sixers were trending in the same way. Maybe them coming together, they can, get back on track, together. But right now, I'm not as excited about the hire as maybe a lot of other people are.
Yeah, and Michael Lee from The Athletic joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast on this Friday night talking about the Philadelphia 76ers hiring of Doc Rivers, not yet from the team, but it has been put out there by multiple sources that he will be the next head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. And that's the case, Mike, and you're right. A lot of people here locally love the move that they have decided to go with Doc Rivers here and not others. So if I'll ask you about this one, though, because Mike D'Antoni also seemed to get a lot of love from, out there. The reports were that he had the lead. Our friend Keith Pompeo of the Inquirer had a lot of information on that. And at this point, we know what happened. What did you think about that when, Keith was reporting that and the stories were out there that D'Antoni was definitely in the mix?
Not even in the mix. I mean, it was his job to lose.
Before
Doc showed up. And so I thought that was going to be a terrible hire, too. again, and maybe I'm just anti-retread, but I think we've already seen what D'Antoni can do, and we think we've already seen what the ceiling is for a team that he coaches for, no matter how much talent he has. I mean, that ceiling is he hasn't been able to break through, and he's been at it for a long time and had multiple opportunities to do it, to break through. I thought that would have been the wrong coach for them. Again, when they fired Brett Brown, the main issue with Brett Brown was that he didn't seem capable of holding his two young stars accountable. He couldn't get them to get out of their comfort zone and do what they weren't necessarily willing to do. Joel Embiid, there's always been questions about his conditioning and what kind of shape he's in and if he's really dedicated to doing what needs to be done behind the scenes. We know he does work. He wouldn't have his skills without the work, but what is he like on practice days? How often is he there committed to go out there and give it his best and give it his all when nobody's watching with his teammates? When he's out there, he's practicing hard and giving it his all. That's how you earn the respect of the guys, and that's how they want to ride behind you and give you what you want. Then when you look at Ben Simmons, we all know he's a phenomenal talent, too. These are two generational talents, and there's a possibility that they both could not really maximize their potential while they're here in Philadelphia because they haven't been pushed the way they need to be pushed. There's no reason on earth that Ben Simmons is not shooting jumpers in the NBA. He's third-team All-NBA without taking a jump shot, and I'm sure he feels like that's a good thing. Well, if you're shooting jump shots, maybe you can move the first team All NBA. You can't just being an All Star and think that's enough. I think that's the best you can do. No, he can make the team better by spreading the floor, by shooting the ball, and by opening up opportunities for his teammates. Because if defenses can sag off of you and just double team everybody else, you make it that much harder for everybody else to do their jobs. And I don't know if he grasps that or if he cares, but he needs a coach that's going to demand him to do that. And Doc, that's going to be his mission. He's going to have to be hard on those guys. He's going to have to push and pry and get something out of them because we all know it's there. The talent is there. Is the commitment there? Is the heart there? Is the desire there? And I don't know if that's something that we've seen from these guys. And that's one of the reasons why they've been bounced out in the second round every year that they've been in the playoffs. We know they have the potential to be much more, but potential after a while has to become productivity. And if that's not the case, then you are throwing away the whole bag when it comes to process.
Yeah, and finally, Mike, before we let you go, to give you an opportunity to check in on this game, the NBA Finals game number 2, where the Lakers and Heat are going at it right now. The other wrinkle here is reuniting Doc Rivers with Tobias Harris, if we are to believe that he'll still be here. Tobias Harris had put probably arguably his best basketball up the numbers while with the Clippers before he was traded to Philadelphia, shooting 43% from behind a three-point line. I saw where you put it out as well, flirting with 50-40-90, that club that not many people could claim to be a part of. He played some really good basketball. A lot of it with the pick and roll with Marcin Gortat. And he had the ball in his hands a lot. And he really thrived in that offense. Is that something that how can he do that again here with Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and possibly even Al Horford in this offense?
I'm not sure what Al Horford's future is here.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I think if there's any move that they can do to try to roster would have to be by moving him. I think that his contract is not too awful that they can't trade it. Tobias Harris, on the other hand, they're going to need to get something out of him. Like you said, his best years were playing for Doc Rivers, but I hope that the hire wasn't made because Tobias played for him, you know. Mm-hmm. So the key is going to be the main two guys that they Tobias is the highest paid player, but it's been the foundational pieces from the process. Those are the two main guys that have to lead them and direct them. Tobias, I mean, he's a good player, but I don't think anybody's expecting him to be an all-NBA player. And that's not what Doc Rivers' job is going to be necessarily. We just want to make sure he comes out there. He's a productive player, he's a consistent player, and he's a reliable player. And that's really what they need from him. The two young guys, they're going to be the ones that take the Sixers wherever they're going to go. Tobias is going to be a complimentary player no matter what the paycheck says. They paid him a lot of money. He hasn't necessarily up to that yet, but that's not their concern right now. He's on the team, and they got to get the best out of him. But if the Sixers are going to be anything, Doc's going to have to be able to turn Joel and Ben into players who are in the MVP conversation or in that first-team All-NBA conversation. And if that's not the case, then the Sixers are going to be in the same boat every year.
Yeah, man. Well, it is going to be interesting. Hopefully, first of all, hopefully we'll be able to be back in the building where we're sitting next to each other dissecting these things as it's going on. And that will be great. If not, I'm sure you and I will be talking at some point, man. Mike, thanks so much on this Friday night giving us some of your time. Enjoy the game. Go check in again with Michael Lee at the Athletic and at Mr. Michael Lee on Twitter. Mike, thanks so much, man. Have a great night. Have a great weekend. I'll be talking to you.
Hey, for sure, man. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Always. Again, Michael Lee of The Athletic. So great stuff there. And a little bit of a different perspective than many have said. Some have said, I don't like this one, but the majority has been the consensus. I love this. Mike said, look, Doc is good, but was this the right place for him? Was he the right person for this? A little bit different. Thanks again to Michael Lee from The Athletic. Guys, hang on. 610-632-0975. When we come back, our pick segment. Wade, Aaron, Nate, Ramin, and Sean. We close down our final segment, 25 minutes commercial free, on this Football Friday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
.975 The Fanatic. Devon Givens, final segment on his Football Friday. Wade, Aaron, Nate, Ramin, Sean, everybody hang on for a minute because we have our weekly pick segment, which we have to do at this point. And you guys can let us know what you think when we are finished. So, Tyler, first of all, you have to let everybody know what we did last week. What does our record look like after 3 weeks now?
You know, at some point, one of the two of us has got to have a record that is not the same as the other one, mm-hmm. whether that be for better or for worse, because for the third straight week, you and I finished with the exact same record. We were both 2-1 last week. That pushes us through 3 weeks to 6-2-1 on the regular season.
6-2-1.
Pretty good start.
Nice start. Well, I had the honors last week to start things off. So since we are still tied, you go first.
Okay. All right. So, I always like to give you my little betting tips and tricks and trades that I've learned along the way. And every single week I break at least one of them. And I'm going to continue to do that today. And one of the rules I've been taught when it comes to the betting formula of how games work is don't bet bad games. When it's two bad teams, stay away from it.
Like last night.
I'm going to go right at it. And this team's not gotten a win yet. I've taken this team once already, and they covered for me, but I'm ready for them to get their first win. And the number one overall pick is going to get the first win of his NFL career. The Cincinnati Bengals are laying 2.5 against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I think had a nice little moment in the sun when they beat the Colts in week one. I'm blanking on the name. As we were once told, though, they are who we thought they were. Denny Green said that back in the day. The Jags are who we thought they were. The Bengals aren't much better, but I think they're a field goal better. They're going to cover 2.5.
All right, 2.5. I like that one as you go with the Cincinnati Bengals to pick up win number one. Well, I am not going there. I am going to go to Miami where they have opened things up a little bit more in the state. They're a bunch of idiots down there. And, not wearing their masks like they should. And the football team is not that much better. Now, Brian Flores is a nice coach, and I think he's going to be fine eventually, but not right now where Tua is still not starting. They have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who will have a game every six games where you're looking at it and you say, oh, wow. Well, right now they're 1-2 in the AFC East, and they're going against the Seattle Seahawks right now, who, again, in that tight NFC West, leading the division 3-0. It does not stop here. They go to Miami on the road. They put their foot down on these guys and do not let up. The number is 6. Stayed away from that 4.5 and that 5 that Joe Torti tells us to stay away from, even though you know I'm not afraid. I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks to crush the Miami Dolphins Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Every single year, the Seattle Seahawks lose a game they're not supposed to.
Not that one.
I'm not thinking it's this one. It might be tight, though. 6 is a lot, but I'm going to tend to have a small agreeance with you on that one.
All right.
The next one, we talk about teams that are bad. I'm going to continue to say this until I'm told otherwise. I don't care that not only did they win a game last week, but they burned me as well in the process. The Carolina Panthers are a terrible football team, and I will go against that football team every single week until Matt Rhule says, all right, Tyler, it's enough. It's time to kind of stop this. I saw 3.5. That's a little short, but I guess that's probably Arizona coming across the country and having to go back to go to Carolina to play this game. Last week, the Cardinals were not good.
No.
And in doing so and being not good, they lost a game that they should not have to the Detroit Lions. Every team loses a game they should not. That means that this is not going to be that week for the Arizona Cardinals. They're giving 3.5. I think that this is a touchdown win or more for the Arizona Cardinals. I'll take them minus 3.5 points.
I like it. I like that one. Well, I'll stay in the state of Florida, and this time I'll go to the Tampa Bays and check in with that squad back at home trying to get their groove going. They are right now sitting at 2-1 with the New Orleans Saints not playing well. Obviously, Atlanta Falcons, two wins that they had in their pocket, they should be 2-1 with Tampa and Carolina. You just mentioned everything. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay, they're just going about their business. They're trying to, you know, get things going, get that chemistry rolling, that camaraderie, and they're 2-1 right now. They don't want to let up. They want to make sure that they separate themselves. Let these teams just lose and continue to lose and lose and lose while they pick up these wins. And they have to do so against these clubs that they have no right losing to. And in this particular case, it is the Los Angeles Chargers right now. No Tyrod Taylor. The bad needle to the ribs. Put Tyrod Taylor on the bench. Justin Herbert is going to be fine eventually. Not right now. That Tampa Bay team is going to come after him. They're going to come after him. They're going to come after him. And Tampa Bay, with the defense, we know Los Angeles, not what it was supposed to be with Darwin James and company. They did their thing against Kansas City. They're on the road in Tampa Bay to take on the Bucs. That's a 7 number right there, and I'm taking every bit of that against that Chargers team on the road.
Really, really like that pick, Devon. I think the Chargers do suffer their second straight NFC South loss, and I'm not quite sure that this one is even remotely pretty. All right, so you took a game that was minus 6. And a game that was minus 7. If my basic math is correct, that adds up to 13. I'll do you one better and take the big line this week.
Ooh.
One of the betting rules I will follow.
You go to the DMV?
Somebody told me if they're willing to give you 2 touchdowns right out of the gate, you take 2 touchdowns and say thank you very much. The Washington football team is not going to win this game. Baltimore is significantly better than them. But You give me 13.5 points. It's really more of a show me you can win by two touchdowns. They definitely can. I just don't think they will. I like the Washington defense. I know that Dwayne Haskins still has a long way to go until he's a complete quarterback. But I think that front four is good enough to keep Lamar Jackson and company contained for 60 minutes to keep it within two touchdowns. You give me 13.5 points, I'll take it. So I'll take Washington plus 13.
Wow, you're going against. Will we see Alex Smith for the first time? Or is Dwayne Haskins?
Very possible.
Very possible. You're going against Jamie Lynch on that when he said, give me all of that. I might bet you my Uncrustable right here, my Smucker's Grape Jelly Uncrustables on that one, because I'm going with Jamie.
I'll take you up on that
they're one. They're going to beat, after that, the performance that they put up on against the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to want to come out there and smash that team and make another statement against that bad squad. I might go the other way on that. Well, my final game, I'm going back to Kansas City. The New England Patriots, they come in, right? Kansas City, right now, the Chiefs 3-0. New England Patriots 2-1. As good as New England has looked, this is a bad spot for them on the road against the Chiefs that started to get that good feeling back as they beat up on the Baltimore Ravens. No letdown here. They're just going out there and they're going to try to make another statement against Bill Belichick. So back-to-back, John Harbaugh and the Ravens with Lamar Jackson. And now this one with the Patriots, Belichick, Newton. They're going to go out there, and again, this is a test for the Chiefs more so than it is for the Patriots. The number is 7. And again, I'm not afraid. I'm taking every bit of that. The Kansas City Chiefs put up a number on the New England Patriots on Sunday, 4:25 kickoff.
You know, Devon, I got to tell you, you talk about not being afraid.
Not
over
afraid.
The first 4 weeks, you have taken 4 in the first 2 weeks. 2 in week 3, that gives you 6. And all 3 of your games this week, that gives you 9 of your 12 picks to start the year have been plus 5 or minus 5 or plus 5 or higher.
I'm not afraid.
You like the big lines.
I like the big lines. I'm not afraid. That is our pick segment. Again, presented by us here on the show on Football Friday. Tyler Zuli goes with the Arizona Cardinals over the Panthers. The Cincinnati Bengals getting their first win of the season over the Jacksonville Jaguars, and controversial Washington covering that number in the DMV against Baltimore. I'm going with Seattle over Miami, taking that 6. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home, 7 over the Chargers. And once again, the Chiefs, 7 over the New England Patriots, dropping them to 2-2 on this season in week number 4. So that's our pick segments. We'll update everybody next Friday and see where we are next Friday with our picks overall on the season and certainly for week number 4. If you think we're crazy, let us know right here, 610-632-0975. All right, let's go. Let's go round robin here with our final phone calls as we have about a good 10 minutes. We start off with Wade in Chester. As always, Wade, my brother, what's up?
What's up, D?
What's going on, man?
I'm listening to your conversations, man, and I'm surprised that you're, like, entertaining some of the stuff that you are, but the guy calling up with this switching the coach and the player.
Oh, it was just hypothetical. It was fun.
Yeah. Let's just be very clear on something. If Carson Wentz was with the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid, the problem that with Carson Wentz is the same. Now, Football Choker said that a pass is 20 yards or more, Carson Wentz is 62% uncatchable. 62% of them passes are uncatchable. Now, anything shorter, he's 41% uncatchable. The Eagles are not dropping balls. Carson Wentz cannot make the throws that Pat Mahomes makes. Carson Wentz is an inaccurate quarterback. He's a quarterback that can only, and I would repeat, only throw consistently seam routes. Anything outside them numbers, it don't matter what coach you have. If you give a coach limited quarterback play like that, I don't give a damn what you do. He cannot make the outside throws consistently. Sean Payton said that when they played him. He said, Carson Wentz cannot beat me from the pocket. I'm not afraid of him. And that's even healthy. He's not that guy. So, and then if you take Doug and put him in Andy Reid's seat, Doug would have the same success because he's got Pat Mahomes. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not like a knocker. I'm just saying, at what point are we going to wake up and realize that we made the wrong decision in terms of Carson Wentz is not who we thought he was.
All right, well, as is, he is here. So how do you get the best of him as a head coach and simplify things for him to have some success this season right now?
I'm going to be honest with you. You don't. You're not. What, everybody keep riding on 2017. Can we just look at that real quick? Out of all of those games we played, only three teams in that season had a winning record. That was Kansas City, we lost. Seattle, we lost. And Carolina, we won. All the rest of them games was like booty. They was bad teams. So then you look at his numbers. Did he have MVP-type numbers? No. The reason why Carson Wentz was leading the MVP vote, because the team had the best record in the NFL. Carson Wentz had 33 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 3,200 yards. That's not a good – that's average numbers for a quarterback. Now, if he has 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, those are MVP-type numbers. So let's stop saying he had a great season in 2000. No, he had an average season in 2017 against a bad last-place schedule. We just got to look at it for what it is. He is not what we thought he was. And he's not even going to get there. At best, Carson Wentz is going to be just a good quarterback.
Well,
that's the best you got with him.
We'll see what happens. Hey, man, listen, enjoy the weekend. Do they pull this one off?
Absolutely not.
All right, well, that's all
double,
I need to
double
know.
Double digits off.
All right, bro, I'll talk to you. All right, Wayne Chester right there on the Fanatic. Let's go to Aaron in Drexel Hill next. What's up, Aaron?
What's going on, fellas? How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing all right, man. What's going on with you? What are you thinking?
So just two quick things.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles, first of all, I'm a Packers fan, right? And so what I'm saying to what I'm seeing for the Eagles is very reminiscent of what we went through with Aaron Rodgers, which is terrible O-line play, terrible play calling, and not enough opportunities in the run game, right? And that's exactly what I'm looking at for the Eagles. I mean, Carson is not going to have success when he says hike and guys are getting free rushes at him. And unfortunately, the difference between him and Aaron would at least throw the ball away or take, he would throw the ball away. He won't throw the interception. Where Carson would throw the interception, he'll just throw that, like Eli Manning, just throw that ball up in the air and throw the interception or take a really bad sack. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm like worried about him. Like the sack that he's taking are bad sacks, especially when he keeps trying to duck underneath somebody all the time. You're going to hurt yourself that way, especially a person who already had a back problem. So I need him work, you know, that's the number one thing right now. You got decimated wide receivers out there. It was dumb to bring in D-Jack to anyway, a guy who was injured like for the past 3 years prior to you bringing him in. So I don't know why you thought he was going to all of a sudden be healthy. Same thing with Alshon. Yes, Alshon did help with the Super Bowl, but you know, he's a wide receiver who often gets hurt all the time. So that's that. And then to the Sixers point, I am happy to have Dockett. To me, it was between Doc and it was between Mike D'Antoni as the two guys to get, because I thought D'Antoni's offensive mindset and his system would have helped the team because he has a system that you play in. I'm a little worried about Doc's system, but I think Doc has the cachet and the understanding of how to work with the big man. And I would just like to say, and I'm going to be done with this, when it comes to Doc's system, I think you can run Ben at the four and let him be the playmaker there and have Tobias spend most of his time on the perimeter. And that's it.
Okay. Well, listen, man, it's going to be interesting and a lot to break down with all of us, Aaron, and I look forward to talking to you about it, man. Thanks. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game as we keep running through these phone calls so we can give everybody an opportunity. Sean and Wayne next on the Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
Yo, what up, D?
Yo, Sean, what's happening?
What's going on, bro? Sorry, can I bring it back to the Sixers?
Please, go for it.
All right, first of all, how are we already complaining about Doc? How can we already do that? We've been bitching so long. How are we already complaining? And who did we really want? I got one other option other than Doc.
Okay, well, I know some people just, you know, go back to the 3-1 stuff with Doc Rivers and losing those series. That's all.
I hear you, but let me just throw something at you. One of those teams that voted unanimously was the Clippers. They didn't want to be there. They didn't want to play. His team quit on him. And then just to give one game to throw out there, he's got two superstars, and they combined for 24 points in game seven, and we're only going to throw that on Doc? Nah, I mean, you can only hold a coach so responsible for certain things. And let's just be real. That was all on the players, and they didn't want to be there. They didn't care. They went cocky the entire season, and they underproduced. Do you feel me on that?
No, listen. There's been a lot with those Sixers, with what they haven't done, and all of the conversations that we've been having about them in general.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the Clippers.
About the Clippers?
Yeah. Talking about the Clippers.
Well, why? Because a couple of them didn't want to be there, like Lou Williams saying it out loud that he didn't want to be there.
It wasn't just Lou. No, it wasn't just Lou. They voted as a team. They didn't want to be there. But I'm going to run it back. So his team quit on him.
No, I got it. Go ahead.
So forget that. Then our only other option was D'Antoni. And the thing that intrigued me would have been, and some people hate me for this, but we take D'Antoni and we flip Embiid right to Houston for Harden. And Ben and Harden would be the best combo immediately. It would be so different, especially with this coach. I hate to put anything on Brett Brown, but I just think a lot of things would be different with a coach. Now, when anyone criticizes Doc, to get back to him, the reason we brought him in, the biggest reason, is because he's a player's coach. He's not someone doing X and O's. He doesn't run any practices during the season. He's a player's coach.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone's going to motivate these guys, he's also someone who's been in the league. No offense to Brett. Doc's a real player. So I just think he'll get the respect. Also, he had to get out of L.A. Coaching Paul George and the situation with his family, that's crazy. I think this is a fresh start. He's got a loaded lineup. And then I don't know what anyone was talking about earlier with the Tobias Harris thing, that maybe he came back for Tobias Harris. That was the weirdest thing I ever heard. The only thing that Tobias Harris benefits from this is we're finally getting a couple pick and rolls for him the way that he ran it for him in L.A. Yep. You know what I mean?
And get it to work that way. Sean, thanks for the call, man. Listen, enjoy the weekend, man. Enjoy the birds. We'll be talking about some hoops later on, man. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it. Nate in Pensgrove. What's up, Nate? Yo, Nate. Oh, Nate, been hanging that long. Ramin in West Philly, Mean.
What's going on, Javon?
What's happening, man?
Yo, Philadelphia fans is crazy, man.
Wade has been going in. Look, and I'll clear it up for Wade again. As he said, he doesn't hate Carson Wentz. He just never thought he was good.
No, but listen, I'm starting to think I was a Carson Wentz fan. You know, once we got our quarterback, I'm like, yeah, we got a real quarterback. Well, this is what I'm noticing, right? You know, we blaming things on Doug. I think Doug is really a good coach, man, because I'm looking at it like the offense never ran smoother, right, than when we had a lesser quarterback, a lesser talented quarterback than Carson Wentz, which was Foles. When Foles was under the helm, it seemed like the offense ran better with Foles under the helm, and he's less talented than Carson Wentz, arguably. Right?
Yes.
Right or wrong?
Right. Yep.
So I don't think it's really like from a standpoint, a Carson Wentz standpoint, where as though he just ain't accurate. When I was looking at, it was like 2 weeks ago, I was Mike Greeny, right? I was looking at, they said from a clean pocket, right? Carson Wentz had 15 throws, right? From a clean pocket that he didn't make. Whereas though he missed his receivers, right? And that was by far the worst in the league. So you really can't blame the offensive line. Like, he fails to throw it away and all like that. Like, I think we just ignored him too fast, because out of this whole 5 years, what have he really done for us?
What have he done for us? 2017, getting you ready for that. And last four games last year?
Yeah, but I'm saying, but at the end, he
just
doesn't finish. That's all. Within the 5 years, we don't have no real memories. The real memories that we have in our 5 years, you got to look. I would take, you said 2017, right? Mm-hmm. That when I 2017 when he had, and the last four games, I would rather take the championship Foles to when Foles took over. And when Foles marched us down, right? Remember, he marched us down against the Saints right, which are unbeatable Saints team,
yes,
who crushed us in a regular season, and we went up in the Saints, right, with State Stadium, we went up there and Alshon dropped the pass.
Yes,
I'd rather take that than all Carson accolades. So I don't, you know what I'm saying, I don't blame it on I'm not gonna keep blaming it on Doug. I don't want to be too hard on Doug. I think, you know what I'm saying, it's just that we thought we had a real quarterback, and you know,
and
Carson Wentz.
Here we are. Here we are. Yeah, man. Well, listen, we got a split, man. Me, we'll catch up next week. We'll get your Sixers talk next week, man. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. And thanks to everybody. Tonight, we thank D. Lynam. We thank Michael Lee for joining us tonight. Thank Jamie Lynch again for the Draft Line Show. Thanks to all the callers, all the listeners, all the tweeters out there all week. And, of course, tonight, Tyler Zuli, great work. As always, we'll check in with you on Sunday at 6 a.m. Tyler Zuli will be hosting at 6 a.m. on Sunday. So please, when you're up and you're out and you're going running, you're going to go do your errands, listen to Tyler Zuli right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And I'll be back with you on Sunday at 4 o'clock from 4 to 5 from Parks Casino. And then the pregame show with Brian Westbrook and Derek Gunn for The Fanatic pregame show Sunday live from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And again, I'll be kicking you off at 4. Then Derek Gunn and Brian Westbrook will be joining me to get you ready for Bears Niners. Have a great weekend. Enjoy it. Be safe. And I'll talk to you at 4. Tyler will talk to you at 6 a.m. Sunday right here on The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.